They work everywhere.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Call this meeting to order at
6:06 p.m. I can figure out my chair.
There we go. As always, we will begin with attendance. President Kuzmu.
Here.
Vice President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Woods.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Battelle.
Present.
Councillor Borden.
Present.
Councillor Mills.
Present.
Councillor Hanwell.
Present.
Councillor Bannister.
Present.
Councillor Schiavone.
Present.
Councillor Mohammed. Councillor Grookey.
Present.
Ms. Patel for Councillor Manoshki.
She's sick.
Okay. Councillor Valdez. Councillor Corbett. Councillor Redmond.
Present.
Councillor Hamid.
Present.
Councillor Morris.
Present.
Councillor Nguyen.
Here.
Councillor Champagne. I got you. Councillor Speakman.
Present.
Councillor Hodgson.
Present.
Councillor Quang.
Present.
Councillor Zhang.
Nope.
Councillor Zhang. No. Councillor Grehan. Councillor Bishik. All right. Shouldn't do this right after food goes out. Councillor Douglas.
Yep.
And I am here. Okay, welcome. It's been a little while, so good to see everybody. There's probably a few new folks here that were on Skype or away or whatnot for the summertime, and in case we have any guests now that things are back as well, maybe I'll take 30 seconds and just kind of go over a couple of details. Just a friendly reminder that members of council are permitted to speak. If you're a guest, you would have to be sponsored by a member of council in order to speak to an item, but you could ask somebody and they might offer. If you'd like, you can certainly talk to them about that. For members of council, if you're new to this and you're interested in getting a question answered, you're not quite sure how something works, just rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry and ask me a question and I will answer it to the best of my ability. Just a couple of other speakers' items. The council scholarship, we have, I believe, 5 nominees. We will be selecting them tonight. I have copies of all of them that Nicole is going to hand out. So if you wouldn't mind just grabbing, I think they're separate, so you'll have to sort of self-collate them. There's 5 different ones. Just a couple notes on that. Make sure that you're passing them around, but only passing them to members of council. Unfortunately, we consider them confidential because they deal with personal volunteer information, so they're only to be distributed within council. They're also numbered. I need to make sure I get all the copies back again, just to make sure we keep private information private. And I believe, Nicole, that everyone... Has anyone on council not signed a non-disclosure agreement yet? I think everyone has. Yes. Yeah, I think we're good. Vice President Lau, do you have a question? It doesn't matter. They're numbered as well, so any of them can be taken. And what we'll do is I will distribute those now, and we will do voting probably just before recess, and that'll give me recess to count. I'll give you guys, that'll give you some time to read through them now, and perhaps at the end, if anyone needs a bit more time after that, just let me know then. I'll see what's going on. Councillor Speakman?
Just have a question.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to vote if we're nominated?
Yes. So you are allowed to vote if you're nominated. There is a... We use a preferential ballot system, so you rank your candidates, and I'll explain that a little bit more before we do the ballot. But it's the same as how we do committee chairs or SU council elections and so on. So I will outline that after. But again, just make sure you're holding on to these and make sure that I get them back before you leave. Don't just take them with you or throw them out or anything like that. A couple other announcements. Next meeting on October 8th at the with the support and endorsement of both the execs and CAC, we're going to be moving the first part of the meeting to substage to allow for the provost presentation to take place in a little bit more of a public forum. So at 6 o'clock, we'll actually be meeting at substage. We'll be having that presentation there. It's still a council meeting. It'll operate in the same manner. But we'll do that part there. Then we'll take a quick recess and then come back here to do the rest of the meeting. So just a meeting room change there, and that'll be outlined on the order paper next time around. Reminder that the by-election nomination packages are open, or they're available. You can certainly get them from the SU website, su.eorder.ca/vote. So if you know anyone in any faculties that might be interested, I would encourage you to distribute it as you may. All the information in there in terms of deadlines and so on is already in there. If you have any questions, you can certainly get in touch with CRO DeFair. Lastly, just a note on status of Sixth Floor. So the Students' Governance Center is basically ready to go. We're doing some final moving and so on there, but the space is looking really nice. So Students' Council will have some space up there. I believe it's room 608. We're just going to take a little bit of time to coordinate whether there is a meeting space in there, so you may want to actually hold your meetings in there. It's entirely up to committees and their chairs, but we'll coordinate with you in terms of whether there will be a booking procedure or anything like that. So in particular, committee chairs, keep your eyes open for that. Councillor Patel.
I need to move
Yes, you want to make 2E a special order, right? To be dealt with immediately after 2A. Is that correct? Okay. So, again, Councillor Battelle moves to make item 2E a special order to be dealt with immediately following item 2A. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Graham, thank you very much. Councillor Battelle, do you want to quickly introduce?
Yes. That presentation in 2E is with different APRIC, and I just don't want them to make too long for after all these presentations so that they can go on to their business. So just try and move them ahead a little bit.
Okay. And I don't believe that's actually debatable. So it's been a while, so I better check my rule book. Nope. Okay, requires two-thirds majority vote. All those in favor of making item 2E a special order? Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries, so item 2B will be dealt with immediately following item 2A. With that, we're at item 2A, Dean of Students Initiative and Goals, presented by Dr. Frank Robinson, Dean of Students, sponsored by the Vice President of Academic. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Vice President Lay, thank you very much. Any objection to hearing the presentation? Seeing none, we will proceed to the presentation. Dr. Robinson. So you have 30 minutes, including questions, however much of that you want for questions and presentations.
Well, it's kind of nice to know that nobody's prevented me from speaking. So I'm really happy to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, and we have a lot of things going on, and I have been working, I think, very productively with your executive, and I really like the fact that I get to have a chance to come and talk to you. So, two things. This is for me to tell you some of the things we're thinking about. It's also a chance for you to tell me some of the things you're thinking about and ask me questions. And if I have the answer, we can answer those. So, just starting on in there, I am in my sixth year now, and about 5 years ago, we started quite a bit of refinement of our services to try and find gaps in what we do. And our whole point of existence is to try and improve student success. So that can be academic success, it can be mental health success, it can be physical health success, or whatever. So we have been focusing most of the last 5 years on the mental health project. So some of you know that Dr. Robin Everall, who was the chair of EdSite, for many years came over to our place as a provost fellow, which is really like a provost intern type thing. And she spent a year talking to a lot of people all around campus about student mental health, because our office deals with individual cases when things go bad, but a lot of things that are done preemptively across the whole across all of our campuses, really. So what Robin has done is written a report that is quite thick, coming soon to a committee near you, and with 54 recommendations, and the good news is about 32 of those are done or in progress. So a lot of the things that she has been identifying we need to fix around here, we have already started fixing. And one of those things was last year, the wait times in the mental health unit were very, very long. And so we, along with Donna Cave, the director of the health center, lobbied the provincial government, and you may have heard we got $3 million in one-time funding. It's basically $1 million for each of 3 years to hire mental health professionals. So we now have those people all on the ground. They are in several faculties as well, arts and science, grad studies. And I think we're trying to fit make it work in engineering, but there's a problem finding space here, so I'm not sure how that was going to work out. But we also have about five more people in the mental health unit. We've also hired, before we used to have it, so that if you went in there, you had to sign up for an assessment visit to talk to somebody. And sometimes there's even a wait for that. Now we've done it where you actually walk in there and you are seen right away by one of the psychiatric nurses. So we try and cut things down. So that's working much better this year than it has in the past. We still have a ways to go yet because we don't have sustainable funding. We have basically 2 years of funding left now. And so we are going to be working on that really continuously. So the other big, that's taken up a lot of our time in the last few years. The other big thing we're doing right now is dealing with budget cuts, as you've probably heard all about. So this university is made up of faculties and central. And we are part of central. So a lot of the deans and the real faculties say things like, we need to take a bigger cut from central because they're just administrators. Well, they're just administrators and us. So we've had to be out there quite vigorously saying, you know, we do spend a lot of time working with students, and my budget cut this year is anticipated to be in the range of 10%, and the ballpark figure is $643,000. So we are trying to make cuts in ways that don't impact students. So we've had cuts now for several years, 2%, 3%, 3.7%. And we have made the principle never to cut something that would impact students directly. So we haven't cut counselors in the mental health unit. We haven't cut career people in CAPS. We haven't cut learning strategists in the Student Success Center. And we haven't cut the money that comes from the provost office that goes to you guys. And there's multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars that come from the provost office that go to the students' unions to really manage student groups, to run orientation through the Center for Student Development. And, we think it's a fantastic investment. So we don't want to cut that. But this year we're sitting with $643,000 to cut. It's going to be more difficult not to cut some things and impact students. So what we've cut in the past are things like our staff travel has been cut by 75%. So we basically don't travel now unless we actually have to go somewhere. We usually use our own professional money to go. We have cut travel, we've cut communications. But I still think those are the right things to cut. We haven't cut things that impact students. So as we go through this next couple of weeks, we will hear on October 18th to 20th what our final budget cut really is. And we are working hard to balance the cuts with growing some of our services that need to be grown. The thing I probably should say, too, to add balance to this conversation is we say we've had cuts for the last few years, but if you plot student services budget, we've actually grown. And the reason we've grown is we've asked for special initiatives money for things like a lead director in the mental health center, for another learning strategist, for support for Aboriginal students. So those kind of things don't get talked about as much as whining about cuts do. And so, but to add balance, I want to say that when I actually plotted all of our budgets for every one of our units, we still have been growing, but this year we won't. This is the year where we will see a fairly significant cut. So, a few ideas how to handle that, talk to us, but I have told Petros that when we have to make a cut, I will talk to him in a confidential matter before that happens. If you realize that about 90% or 94% of our budget is salaries, and salaries are people, if we cut a person, there's no way we can tell someone else we're cutting that person before we tell them. So we have to respect the fact that we can't say a lot when we're dealing with HR issues. So as long as everybody understands that. Okay, so the other big thing we're doing now, I think is actually pretty cool, and I think it'll be a legacy piece for this year's executive and for me and for the GSA. And you probably know that last year I wouldn't have been invited here. Last year was a different time, we hope. And one of the things that ended up last year when we dealt with the Students' Union and lawyers dealing with each other was we needed to find a better way of saying what student consultation meant in a collegial governance setting of a university. So this was supposed to have been all done by the end of August, but it's a fairly big thing to deal with. And so with the support of the SU, we're actually going to make this subject even a bit bigger than it is. So hopefully it won't just deal with the Lister Hall thing, but it'll deal with a long-term issue. And that long-term issue is to produce a handbook on student consultation. So what we've done, in agreement with the SU and I'm pretty sure with the GSA, we are going to hire a person who does this kind of difficult discussion. Her name is Marilyn Steers. She worked with the South Campus neighborhood and the university in dealing with all the issues around South Campus. And she doesn't do something partway. She's a very methodical, committed person and expensive. But I think the cost will be minimal compared to legal costs. And I think if we can work better going down the road, it's a really good investment. So we're going to have four SU people, four people from the university, and four from the GSA. We're going to lock ourselves in a room four times for 3 or 4 hours each time. And hopefully at the end of that, out will come a manual on how to work together. Part two of that is to then go back to the SU, the university, and the LHSA and talk about the decision-making methods within Lister. So that's something we're excited about. Our timeline, I don't know if we've ever officially signed up on the timeline. No. I'm saying Christmas would be really nice. So we're hoping that it'll be like 3 or 4 or 5 times, and we're going to try and hit the supper time period so that we can still get home in decent time and still use some of the afternoon. So I think that's going to be really cool. Norman Rodenberg in our office has worked really hard on this. If you have feedback, make sure you tell Petros or whoever's representing you. I'll tell you who's going on my side. It's myself, Norma Rodenberg, Marion Hagerty-France, who is the university secretary, who is really the goddess of university governance, and Philip Stack, who is the guy that you guys probably deal with most on budget consultation things. So we hope that works out really well. I think everybody's giving it their very best. The last thing I'll say is this Friday's Green Gold Day. If you've been in the bookstore this week, it's a madhouse. And so on Friday at noon, I don't know if you know about this already, but they're taking a picture of everybody wearing green and gold and quad. I don't know if they're going to have a helicopter or a crane or what they're going to do. They're going to try to take an aerial photograph of as many green and gold people as they can. So it's at 12 o'clock. If you can be there, be there. I think that's kind of cool. It's really all I have going on that I can talk about right now. But if you have questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. And if you guys go check out your new fancy space on the 6th floor and want to stop you on the 5th floor and say hello, we'd like that. And we are open for business. And if you ever try and get a hold of me and my office says, no, he's booked up, you can't see him for 2 weeks, just knock on the glass after 4:30 because I'm pretty much there till 6 every night. And I will make it a point of seeing people if I possibly can, or I'm usually in by 7 also.
Great. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Dr. Robinson? President Kuzman.
Thanks a lot for getting presented to our council and describing some of the, I guess, good things that are going on in the portfolio and some of the tough things, especially with our clients. We had a chance to meet with Dean Berger, I think a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and one of the things that he's been concerned about was student services available at Augustana. I never got a chance to ask you this in person, but what's the relationship between Augustana and the student's office?
Okay, Augustana is different than Campus St. John. Campus St. John, we pay
lot amount of money to every year to help support the student services. August down, we actually pay people. I think we pay 3.5 people, and they pay some of those in joint. So at August down, some of the people, for example, that are counselors are also on their chaplain staff and also teach support. So they have somewhat different funding, but where Augustana gets hit is if we say to Mark Satrasik, who is their head student services person, we're going to take 10% of your budget, and then their dean says we're going to take 7% of your budget on the other side, because they're a faculty, they really are getting hit hard. But they're still not getting hard hit. SS campus is getting 10%. That will average out to 8.5 down there. Now, in theory, that's what it would be, but we don't necessarily cut every unit by the same amount. We're making selective cuts this year. We're not saying to every one of our units, you're taking 10%. Some units will be taking more, some will be taking less. Does that answer your question? But I can tell you that we work very, very well with all of that.
Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the presentation, Neil Robinson. I was just curious, it's sort of not really related to anything you mentioned, but what will be the your role in the leadership initiative that was, if that's being proposed?
That's a really good question. And, you know, it's so funny because if you read that, I don't know if you all saw the paper trail of that that went to GFC, and I know Dustin did. And it's in the very first sentence of that, it says, based on a proposal by me in 2010 or something. That proposal was, I think Dustin has done about 20 PowerPoint slides, some of them are words with question marks on them, as a discussion document among deans. So one of the things that I said was, well, actually, I took it to the dean's retreat in Bath, back when we still traveled, and I said, like, what do you guys all think of this? And the number one thing the deans didn't like, but it sounded elitist. It sounded like it wouldn't be for everybody. So when I was interviewed once by Peter Mikkelsen, who is here doing the work on it, and I said, I didn't have any other input into it, but I just said, my concern is that whatever you do has to be accessible to all people. So if you're married with 5 kids and you can't live in a residence of 144 people, you should still be able to be in a leadership college. Or if you're at Augustana, you should still be able to be in a leadership college. But what came forward to, and I mean, they asked a lot of people for their opinions, a lot of deans put in opinions. But what came forward in that proposal is really, really early, and nothing I really said was in there. But we're not done yet. So, I mean, if I am asked for my opinion, I will continue to say, I want anybody who is on this campus to be able to be a leader. Maybe you have to show proof of leadership or proof of interest. But I don't want anybody to be not in that leadership college because they can't live in a residence. So, for example, I have 2 kids on this campus. You know, they might still choose to live at home because we still cook with cheese. Our kids don't leave. But if they, you know, couldn't be in that because they aren't living in the residence, there's something wrong with that. So that's my own theory. As far as things I like about it, I also worry about if that's a leadership residence, by default, are the other residences followable residences? I worry about that, labeling. So we're not done yet. I also worry about the Emerging Leaders Program, which has 60 people this year. I worry about some of the faculty leadership programs, some of the fraternity leadership programs. So I think we have to have a big, huge campus discussion on this, and I think it would be a great thing to do once we get this consultation done. It's a nice first thing to deal with. But it's not my decision either. So my name is thrown around a lot. I was interviewed. That's all I'll say.
Thank you. Councillor Grokey?
Me. Pass.
Okay. Councillor Champagne?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Dean Robinson, for the presentation. I was hesitating a little bit about asking this question, but referring to what you had said about, you know, Augustana, you guys pay different people, and at the same time, you give a certain amount, just like flat amount. Can you speak a little bit about that cloud out and how it's getting affected this year?
It won't be affected. Like, Augustana students still have chance to access some of our services more than Augustana students do. So, we're not talking large amounts of money. We're talking money that helps them do programming out there. So, but I have no intention of touching that money.
Councillor Hanwell?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much for your presentation. You talked a little bit about mental health funding, and I just wanted to know, do you have any like continuity planning as, you know, it's a one-time installment that you got, and it probably won't be a lobby priority in lieu of operating grants for the government. So do you have any type of continuity planning for that funding and those programs that were funded with that?
Really good question. It's interesting because not every institution got funded. It makes no sense actually who got funded in some ways, because Mamre all got nothing. Calgary got something. Grant McEwen got nothing. Lethbridge got... I can't remember what Lethbridge got. Anyway, there was no rhyme or reason. It was sort of who they thought wanted that money. So we spent a lot of time working with the government on the whole family care clinic thing. This is a new thing coming down the pipeline. They want to build these things called family care clinics. And what they are is they're in a community where no resident is refused. They're very complex because you guys pay student fees for help. And we have academic staff association putting money into that place. But the government says, okay, your district is from Bonnie Doon to Windsor Park and everything in between. And you can't, nobody can be turned away if you live in that area. So we're saying, so in about June, we asked the provincial government, really, like, we serve students here primarily. We don't have training to deal with geriatrics and, you know, some of the issues that are more different target populations. And they said, okay, we'll get back to you on that. Well, this is now September. And we keep asking, when are we going to hear about that? Yeah, we're still working on that question. So you know what? I've taken off my to-do list for this fall because we have more important things to worry about. But I think within the university now, we have a lot more recognized need for mental health. And I also think that if we have a good rapport with this provincial government, that money doesn't come from advanced aid and enterprise. It comes from health. So we may actually be in a better position than the university is for their funding. But it's one of the things I worry about.
Any other questions? Oh, Councillor Groupie, thank you.
Can you speak... Oh, thank you for the presentation. Can you speak to the decision that was made for staffing people at Augustana rather than just giving a lump sum?
It was way before my time. It happened at the time of the merger. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was... I suspect the university took over some positions there on the student services side at that time, as they took over positions all over that top of the year. That was the model I set up, but I think it works pretty well. We will try and we don't want to cut immediate student services, so it's not something we're jumping out to cut because they're all down. In a perfect world, it won't cut all this down. But I don't know how perfect the world's going to be either.
Vice President Chalmers?
Thank you. Just before we see Dr. Robinson for coming, I think that part of our job with the student team is to, number one, learn a little bit more of what it is that you do, but number two, to, in the tough times, do whatever we can to protect really important initiatives, student food funding, mental health funding, really important initiatives, which means SSDS funding from being impacted. And so I think that there are ways that whether the executive or the students at large, we can help, please let us know. I just had sort of a more informational question on that. I know that there's plans around student group policy changes, and just wondering if you could give us an update on sort of what the plans are to change student group policy.
Well, it was originally not one of this to talk about, but because there's been some changes since Norma has talked to you, it's coming to close on Thursday. We would prefer to have it go there, because what I'm afraid is I started a discussion and it ends up being quite big. The Reader's Digest version is they are proposing to take all student group issues outside of the Code of Student Behavior. So what that means is student groups cannot be charged under the code. Student groups would deal with administrative processes, which my office does now. Individuals in students' groups would still go through the Code of Student Behavior. Because it got quite messy over who had jurisdiction over student groups themselves versus individuals. So this is what we are, it's going to be discussed at COSA on Thursday.
Councillor Schmoni? Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Dr. Robinson, for coming. Okay, with that, we move on to item 2E, APERC presentation, presented by the APERC staff, and sponsored by Councillor Patel. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Graham, thank you very much. Any objection to hearing this presentation? Seeing none, we will proceed. Do you guys have any... Perfect. I'll pop that in here.
Staff members at Alberta Public Interest Research Group. Specifically, I'm the outreach coordinator. That is why you have the joy of having me outreaching to you about our organization on campus. My goal today is to give you a general overview, give you an idea of what's coming up for the year, and field any questions that I can. So, click. Just a second. Let's go back. This is technology. Okay, I'm using PDF so you can see our sweet visual identity, which is part of our outreach. Okay. So, the Alberta Public Interest Research Group, we're student-run, we're student-funded, and we're non-profit. We're on campus, and basically our focus is on research, education, advocacy, and action within anything that fits under the realm of public interest. So basically, a really simple way of saying that is our goal is for students to become active in the communities in which they live and to sort of emphasize citizenship and engagement as part of the learning experience of the University of Alberta. This is a technological...
Maybe I'll like grab it and drag it.
Mm-hmm. In theory. No idea how that works, so we're hoping next time it works the same way. So to give you a little more information, basis of unity. So APERC believes that the way to create positive social change, changes within communities, is to provide the individuals with information and tools to become more active, and also to participate in their communities effectively. So we don't just view information, we also try and give really tangible tools and ways of actually causing that change or supporting that change. Did we learn what it's doing? I might just get out of full screen and scroll. Okay, so statement of values. So tease that out a little bit more. What's really important to understand in relation to APERG, we consider that an equitable environment is part of creating social change. So how we as an organization function is integral to what we actually support in students. And so we acknowledge that social change is achievable, and that we see social awareness as a valuable facet of the public interest. So students being aware, being engaged is part of this process. We specifically function under the term of anti-oppression, which is a process that acknowledges the existence of systemic oppression, so not limited to racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, classism, ableism, dot, dot, dot. And through practice and policies, we actively seek to identify, challenge, and address those systems in all their forms, and to actually encourage opportunities for students to do this work, too. We also really like to emphasize and help students understand how those systems relate to each other. And so that's what makes APERG really special on campus, is we're not always talking about individual experiences. We're trying to get students to understand individual experience in relation to the social and cultural systems that are happening. Right. Page down. Perfect. So what we do in a more tangible way is sort of three-pronged. So the big one is funding. Every year we give about $30,000 directly to students to do this work. We also provide support. So as an employee and also a board member, support students doing this work. We answer questions. We connect them with other students who are of interest. We basically try and facilitate it to work more smoothly, not just give them money and run away. We really want them to be successful in what they're doing. So that's that administrative support. We also do informational things. We have a library. We have videos, zines, books. We really try to offer students different ways of connecting. And then skill development. So every year we do workshops. We bring in speakers. We connect with other student or other organizations on campus to really try and make it visible and accessible for students to come and learn, engage, and take away useful tools and skills. So fortunately, I don't have a picture of our new staff member. But who is APERG? So first of all, UVA undergrads who haven't opted out. We're a dedicated fee unit, which means you are a member as an undergrad unless you opt out. Community members, we now have a way for members of the community to actually pay to join our organization. A volunteer board of directors, which is elected from the student body. And then three part-time staff members. Myself, Sima, not Brooke, who's the other one, but our new employee is Justin. So like I was saying, the board of directors, which is our governing body, is consisted of 9 undergraduate students that are elected every March at the same time as the SU exec. We actually run our elections through the system through your CRO. We have our own CRO, but we actually run them in tandem. Basically, anyone can run if you haven't opted out. And we also have a student council representative. So on our board, one of you people sit and attend all our meetings. So these are just sort of an idea of what our board actually does. There's different portfolios with different responsibilities, but boards are really active governors. They're not paper signers. They're active members of what we do, guiding our organization, doing a lot of the work. This is really key for you to understand, and one something that's really important to APERG is we are governed by a lot of different systems. So first of all, we have our own bylaws. We also are a society, so we're under the Alberta Societies Act. We're under Bylaw 6000 because we are a dedicated fee unit, and Bylaw 3000, Class B fee. So, how is APERG accountable to students? Because if our goal is for students to be active citizens, we really should be fostering a culture of accountability in relation to us as an organization. We're democratic. We're directly accountable. Any student can run. And all board meetings and general meetings are open to the public. We also keep audited financial records and produce an annual report every year. We go through audit and audit come every year. So, where do we get our money? Like I said, dedicated fee, to sort of give you a perspective of what's coming in. We get $3.30 per term for full-time and $1.65 for part-time. And any student who is philosophically opposed or financially cannot pay that fee, they have the option to opt out. And we run an opt-out from the ad drop deadline all the way to the end of October. And then we do the same thing for the second semester till the end of February. So one of our goals is to really engage students in this, in the sense of if we're trying to get students to care and to engage and be active, we're totally into them having an idea about what we do and actually like actively coming and opting out. So we try to make it as accessible as possible and try to make it really visible. You can see where we advertise. The really important one for me is we talk directly to students in class rounds. I pre-book them all so we can do a full video presentation, and we've increased our numbers from 5,000 last year to 8,000 this semester. So we're actively increasing how we're actually talking face-to-face with students, not just expecting them to look at the TVs in South or Lister. So, these are really basic numbers. Like I said, we are audited, so there's an opportunity in Audicom to go through all our financial system or statements in detail. And we also go through all our financial statements at our annual general meeting, which is coming up in October. So I'm not necessarily going to give you all of the meat and potatoes, but just give you an overview. So revenue pretty much is student fees. We don't like to charge for our events because we want them to be accessible. So we don't take money from students to be able to attend our workshops. We do have some interest revenue, basically, because there's money. Our first VFU money was sitting. We didn't get it until after our first year of operation. So it is actually sitting and collecting a little bit of interest. Where does the money go? What a legit question. So this is for this year's budget. Like I said, direct grants, a really integral part is giving students the financial ability to bring in speakers, to run groups, to actually do these things on campus. We also do programming, so I'll go over briefly what we're doing this year, but we bring in speakers, and we work collaboratively on and off campus to really connect people in. We do communications and outreach, so getting in SUTV, printing out ads, really being visible, because that's part of what we really want to do. Goes to board development. We spend a little bit of money doing retreats, doing trainings, because if we want the board to function democratically, we want them to have the skills to be able to do the work really well. Office and resource library, we spend a little bit of money on that. Basically, our acquisitions are what students ask for, so we actually increase what we carry at the library based on what students want to read and want to know. Administration, we spend money on opt-outs. We also have a bookkeeper so that our books stay nice and tidy. And then there's staff, which is like a general nonprofit structure, pretty large, but I'll show you. This is what it looks like. The big part of the donut being staff, but that's pretty common. The other big parts of the donuts being programming and direct grants. Speaking of direct grants, I'm not going to go through them all, but this shows you how much granting we do a year. Since I've started with the organization, across two different granting, we've greatly increased how many applications we're getting. We're getting about double what we can financially fund, so we're really connecting with students, and part of my job is to help them apply for grants and actually fill out the forms with them. So we're lots of different, these are events and projects, so these are short-term things, not working groups. And this is the other thing that we fund, which is groups. So if students want to actually run year to year and have continuity, we set up a really great reciprocal relationship with them and support them so they can actually maintain their group year to year. This is what I was speaking of, sort of that non-monetary resources. Our library, our button maker, lots of different things we offer. Basically, if we think it will help students connect with other students, so that might involve making a video. We have video cameras. We have Adobe Suite. It might involve, you know, having meeting space. We offer meeting space in our office. We really try to think about all the different ways that might be barriers to students doing this work. This is what I'm so excited about. So every year we do programming. We generally choose a theme for our programming, sort of to help students like build a knowledge around a certain topic. And this year we're focusing on race and racism, which is super, super... It's exciting because we often do it as like in one intersection, like education and race, and we only do it in one sort of one event, and we really wanted to put it central this year. And the big meal deal is Angela Davis, who is like the expert in race and education, the impact of racism in education systems, is coming on March 20th. This was like an April pipe dream that we like are doing in connection with Gender-Based Violence Prevention Project, which is one of your projects, and also with USOLV, which is basically GBVPP at Grant McEwen. So this is a she's incredible. I hope you all come. That's why I put the date up. You should write it in right now. But we're also doing a series of smaller workshops because we try to do big things and then ways to ground it into people's actual experiences. So there'll be workshops for people of color, sort of like to discuss race. There'll be white privilege workshops. There'll be lots of different ways. Our goal is to bring in a comedian to say, like, we don't need to all get down in the dumps about this. We can find really creative ways to engage with racism on campus. And the last one is actually doing tours of a women's prison. We've done it before. It's a really great way for students to start to understand what is actually happening in there. So, the other thing that APRG does is those workshops. And I really want to emphasize this because this is where we're going, is really trying to embed ourselves as a resource center for students. So you can see the different kinds of workshops that we're doing. And this year we're getting really into it. We've done an anti-oppression workshop for the exec and SU staff. I was one of the keynote speakers at the SGS Leadership Summit. Really, I did training with the Students Umbrella for Social Justice. We really want to become a place to support what's already happening on campus and make it even better. And one of the ways we do that is we do collaboration. So this PDF will get passed on, so you can all like look through the specific details if you want. But these are just some of the places that we collaborate with. The idea being, it's better to connect with students if there's like different doors to open to get to the connection in the first place. So I sort of already covered it. We do elections every year. We hire a separate conference CRO to make sure we're doing it with full diligence. We do funding. This Friday is our funding deadline, which is, we're already getting flooded with applications, which is super awesome. I've met lots of people. Makes me super excited. And the other thing I want to emphasize, because you all are members, and all of your constituents are members, is that our annual meeting is coming up in October. So it will be October 17th at 6:30 in the old Arts Lounge, the Convocation Hall building. So that way we go through all our financial records, we go through all of, it's basically doing all of our due diligence, but also connecting people in the APRG community, and hopefully new people too. There is always free food, which is actually a theme of all APRG events. So that's the short and simple. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Champagne. Councillor Champagne.
Thank you, Speaker, and thank you for the presentation. Just now, I wasn't too sure about this. Do you have 2 rounds of funding, one per semester?
Yeah, so we have both at the last Friday of the first month of the semester. Yeah, and if there's any money left over for any reason, we actually will run a spring session one too. So last year, just based on what actually got utilized, we ran a whole nother, because our money will go out. That's a guarantee for us.
Okay. Councilor Bannister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the presentation. I don't know if you're allowed to disclose this information at this time, but just out of curiosity, how many people usually opt out?
I don't have the numbers. And the like information is confidential. We don't get huge numbers for sure. If you need that information or would like that information, I can definitely connect you with it. Yeah, like it usually costs us more to administer it than what actually goes out.
Councillor Speakman?
Yeah, I was just wondering when you do the class and speaking with students about the opt-out option, like is it sort of a general presentation, like trying to educate them about what APRG does, so hopefully they wouldn't opt out, or is it just like, this is what you can do if you want to?
Our goal isn't to say, like, here's why you shouldn't opt out. Our goal is for, like, we want all of our members to have, like, an informed consent in how they relate to us. So our goal is for them to understand what APRG is and then have all the accessible routes to opting out if in that understanding they don't want to give us money. So it's not necessarily, like, we're not singing and dancing, give up, like, don't take the money away. We're saying, know who we are and, like, make an informed decision. Yeah. So we bring, like, leaflets and information for opt-out on top of.
Yeah. Any further questions? President Kuzma?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say thanks all for coming to Students Council and presenting to us. I'm unbelievably excited for Angela Davis. She's going to lose it, but she's coming. So yeah, thanks a lot for that.
I guess the question I have is, I'm just curious as to what your video was like in class. Like, how long is it and what kind of information is it? Because Students' Council is going to be interested in doing something like this.
Yeah.
So what's your strategy?
So we work with community service learning students. So first of all, Matt Props, it was a CSL project, which is awesome. And they're now actually a board member, which... But basically what we do is an overview of, like, who we are, what are, like, basically this, but in a condensed version. It's only 2.5 minutes. Even then, that can run long for professors. Because we book ahead of time, it's not that bad, because we usually start, like... I book my volunteers in 5 minutes ahead of time so that they can go. So it's about 2.5 minutes. It's just like visual slides with a narration over top. So it's basically like really emphasizing what our resources are, how to connect with us, so all of the like social media and other forms that we have, and then emphasizing the like opt out and how to do it.
And what's the response been?
Good. Our walk-in rate is getting unbearable. My job now becomes like, usually I'm doing multiple things in the office, and I really have to set aside more time because we get lots of people, because we're really visible, we're in Open to Hub Mall, we're getting lots more turnout and like people walking in asking questions, and then just end up like sitting and reading in the office, or just like that's like my dream, right, is like to have more conversations about APER and what we can offer with more students, and it's definitely like visibly working.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for presenting. Cool. Thanks. Okay, with that, we will move on to item 2D, the Class Talk Initiative, presented by Councillor Finchick, sponsored by Councillor Finchick and Vice President Lau. Is there any objection to hearing this presentation? Seeing none, we will proceed with this presentation.
Some extra food.
Great.
So I hope you all have food and ready to go. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the Classbook Initiative. I have been working on it for about the past 2 weeks, and the science faculty has already started to undertake some actions regarding the initiative. And I just wanted to make sure you are all informed about what we are doing. And hopefully after today's presentation, I will be able to entice you to perhaps start similar actions in your own faculty. So why would I even propose the initiative? We do have quite an informed student body. Students are not really aware of what is happening at the university. Although they do choose their representatives at the very beginning during the elections, that connection appears to be lost right after the election. And the students are not really holding their representatives accountable to what they promised during the elections. Also, this year we will be experiencing all the budget cuts, as you all know. So it's important for students to not only know what the cuts will affect, but also for them to appreciate any opportunity for consultation and collaboration, and also for them to form an informed opinion on the cuts and express its opinion. Also, we do have voter apathy. I believe that as the students' knowledge about the interest of the university increases, students will become more passionate about student governance, and not only will vote more, hopefully they will also run more in the elections. So we might end up with fewer empty seats, hopefully. And our Students' Council documents are fairly lengthy, so I do believe there's a need to provide students with like a 2-minute summary at least once a month that would really catch them up on what the Students' Union is experiencing. So let's move on to some logistics. How the class talks would look like is... Oh, I'm speaking. It's only been a minute. Okay, I'll slow down. Okay, so at the end of each month, a Students' Union executive, in this case, William Paul, will be creating a very comprehensive PowerPoint. So if you would like to help out with such a PowerPoint, you would be more than welcome to. I know myself, I would love to be a part of that process as well. And after we have that comprehensive PowerPoint, student counselors from each faculty would gather together and choose the slide that they deem most pertinent to their faculty. And after that, after we have those slides selected, we would encourage additions from the faculty associations as well as GSC representatives from each faculty. So in that case, we would just create a comprehensive class talk and a presentation that would really catch the students up on all the student governance issues that take place in a month. Also, at the very last slide, we would have the presenter's contact information. So for counselors, it would be their picture, their email, and even a phone number if you wish to do so. And in that case, students will really have people that they will know, and they'll know exactly who to direct your concerns to. Because right now, we do have generic as emails. I know the emails to the executives are available as well, but the students may not really be aware who their actual counselors are. Okay, and the class talks, as I mentioned before, would be monthly. They would start on October 15th, which is the week after the council video would be created. I know Jessica is working on that, and she will be presenting on this right after, sometime today, I think, 2 presentations from now. So stay tuned for that. The class talks would be faculty-specific. So the representatives from a particular faculty would present only to their faculty unless that particular counselor, for example, still has time available after hitting all the classes in their own faculty, perhaps, and wishes to help out with, let's say, open studies. I would say, well, the Council Administration Committee and I, we both agreed that maximum 2 minutes, even less, would be the good time for a class talk, so we'll try to keep it very short. And if you are comfortable with making a class talk all by yourself in front of 500 people, that is totally fine. But if you don't, you're more than welcome to craft with other representatives from your faculty. And in that case, you can do a joint presentation. Okay. So William was kind enough to send you all a list of all the classes at the university. Since then, we have been working to make it more reader-friendly. So we try to organize into all the classes by faculty. Actually, that was all William. I haven't really done much about it. But it has been fairly time-consuming because we have to drag the classes manually there. So I would propose to all of you, if you are interested in this initiative, to simply contact your faculty associations, check if they already have a very comprehensive class list in their own faculty, and use that list as your main list, and then supplement that list with what we have in the general one. If the faculty association doesn't have a class list at all, then you're more than welcome to use the one we have. However, there might be some classes missing, which you would have to manually drag from the main page. Okay? So we have actually started on that. The ICE has an amazing class list. So we have been already signing up for the classes and figuring out how many people we would have available for the class talks. Also, as good as it would be to have counselors and faculty associations and GSU representatives to present at every single classroom, it's a little bit unrealistic. So if your faculty association has volunteers, it would be good to talk to them and see if those volunteers would be comfortable making such talks themselves. So at the end of those presentations, we would just have generic contact slide with... I'm not sure what our address is, email address for counselors, but for example, it would be counselors@ualberta.ca. So there would be a very generic contact information. Also, the priority for sign-ups would go to counselors as well as faculty association representatives and GSCs. And then whichever classes are not already tackled by those representatives, we would get the volunteers to do them. Also, I would recommend a generic letter to contact the profs instead of every single person writing up their own. I know William already created a template, but perhaps we can make a more comprehensive template or work on that one a little bit more. So this is a really fairly short presentation. The next steps would be to simply get a volunteer from each faculty that sits on Student Council and who would be willing to put in their time and coordinate the initiative with me. And then once we have those volunteers, they would be responsible for contacting their faculty association to see if there's a potential for collaboration. And after that, of course, we do need to recruit presenters, any volunteers. And there would be a sign-up sheet on which each volunteer from each faculty would actually have to work a little bit. And then comes contacting the profs, and finally the presentation, which I'm sure would be very enjoyable. And, thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, we have 23 minutes. I would like to add that working on this has been an absolute pleasure. I really got much closer to my faculty association. The GSC representatives haven't been really coming out yet, but I'm sure they will soon. So I got to work with quite a few amazing people, and I think like this will be a science faculty changing initiative. So hopefully I can transfer some of my optimism to you, and you can help out a little bit as well. So on that note, do you have any questions or comments?
Okay, with that, before we get going, I'm actually just going to switch back here. I was going to say Governor Kelly, in case he had a question. Looks like he actually does. When we're on the other source, his mic doesn't come through, so I want to make sure we change back to that. And since he's from afar, I'll let him go first. Governor Kelly?
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the very concise presentation. I guess I'm wondering, so I guess for myself, would according to the model, would I also just talk to my faculty, or because I sort of technically represent students at large, I don't necessarily have a faculty per se, but I still am a student in the faculty of arts, so I guess according to your model, should I just still contact my faculty of arts in this regard, or what would you say? For myself or for the executive who might wish to participate.
Okay, thank you for your question. I would say go with your faculty first, because we do have representatives from each faculty that I don't know who to look at when I answer.
The mic's here if that helps. You can look at the mic.
So we do have faculty representatives from, we have representatives from each faculty that can take care of their own faculty. However, if you feel like you have time to tackle more than one faculty and to really get to know the students in those faculties monthly, then I would say there's nothing stopping you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for the info.
Thank you. Councillor Borden?
I just have a couple, I have one question on my pilot, and then I just want to make sure I'm not going up with anything. Okay. So, is this your personal presentation, or is it representing Student Council? Because if it's representing Student Council, there was no motion passed in CAC, or I don't think it's going to intersect right now, so I'm not really sure if there should be, because if Student Council doesn't feel comfortable with the presentation, how they're being represented, then I don't think that we should do that. So is it representing these individuals, the science counselors, or student council?
Okay, so thank you for the question. I wasn't really aware of the necessity to distinguish it like this. I did bring it up to CACT, and I did gather up some input from counselors there, and I did include them in my presentation. So I believe there has been consultation, but there has been no motion passed. I wasn't aware that a motion should be passed. My bad, sorry.
No. I can send you the minutes yourself if you'd like to see it. I just want to know how this presentation
right
now is set, because we can talk about it later tomorrow. I just want to make sure I'm not wrong.
Okay, so my hope was to to bring it up to council so that eventually this may represent council. I guess technically it would be my personal according to what you have just outlined. But I'm not too sure if this changes anything in a sense that if you still want to get involved, we can still form like a little committee and those counselors could take it to their separate faculties. No?
I don't want to get this in too much into a debate, but
this is not a good thing to say during your presentation, but this is my first year on council, and I had no idea that this should be done. Sorry.
Councillor Speakman.
I really enjoyed your presentation, Natalia, and I would like to defer the rest of my speaking turn to Victor Yomiuna.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Vidrick, for presenting. I have a question concerning the class presentations. It's very common, especially later in the year, for a professor not to have time for class speech to happen. Have you thought of having the counselors create some sort of visual that a professor can put into notes or something like that?
Okay, thank you. So my first thought was to contact the professors and to see if they would be comfortable with the class talk. If they're not comfortable, then we can suggest, why don't we just come in 3 minutes early, do a two-minute presentation, and you will still have a minute before your class starts, so that way we're not compromising their ability to teach and to get through the entire material for your class. I don't believe there is any policy that would prevent us from doing so in that 10 minutes time. If they absolutely do not wish us to do that, for whatever reason, a visual would be okay too. I will have a presentation, so perhaps we can pick just a slide from the presentation if no one has time to create like a poster for the month. I'm sure we can work around it. I don't believe it's just like one option. There are multiple.
Thank you. Councillor Grokey?
Thank you for the presentation. The ASA has been doing classroom talks for years, and they are very effective. Well, depending on the topic and the time of year, they tend to be effective. My only question is, say William makes a presentation, would I be able to deviate from that, selectively pick up what would apply for us so that I don't bore students? Because there's already a huge disconnect between our student population and the SU. that I'm working really hard to grade, and if I bore them with stuff that doesn't apply to them, they'll hate me more.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So this has been a part of my presentation. Perhaps I've been speaking too fast. I'm really sorry. Maybe it's my accent, too, so it's harder to catch all the details. But after the comprehensive presentation would be created, the representatives from each faculty would get together, and they would pick the slides that are most pertinent to their faculty. And after that, we would follow with the additions from the FAs as well as the GSC representatives. So, definitely.
Vice President Lau.
Would it make sense for Bog representative and SU exec to first contact the faculty counselors that we are currently in to ask and allow them to first fill out the spreadsheet and then to look towards doing class talks that are vacant?
Okay, so definitely there are so many classes in each faculty that no matter how committed you are, I'm afraid you won't be able to tackle every single class. So they will be vacancies no matter when you sign up. If you wish to wait a longer time before everybody else has signed up, you're welcome to do that. This is by no means mandatory. It's absolutely volunteering. So if you feel like you may not do it 1 month, but you want to do it another month, it's entirely up to you. Just the thing to really keep in mind is to keep those communication lines between the representatives who's in charge of the initiative for your own faculty, as well as all the volunteers that you are communicating, so that there are no issues.
Also, point of information. For, as a counselor or as an executive, we want to do a class talk on students' union initiatives. Would that be okay?
Is that coming to me? Or, when, I mean, members of council are free to speak with their constituents or anyone else for that matter, obviously, as long as they're as long as they understand that they're representing themselves. So only sort of council as a whole can speak on behalf of council. So that's done, you know, if council makes a motion to approve a policy or something and that policy is in place, then that's sort of speaking on behalf of council. But there's nothing stopping people from speaking as a councillor, as a member of council. So you're certainly welcome to. Of course, if there's a larger program being facilitated, then you may want to sort of coordinate with that. But yeah, there's nothing stopping anyone from speaking to each other.
Can I ask you that?
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, I would also like to emphasize that at the end of each slide, there would be only your contact information, not the student's union information. So theoretically, you are speaking as a counselor. However, now that I know there is another possibility of passing a policy or anything of that sort, I'll definitely look into it.
Councillor Schiavone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the presentation. I was just wondering, I like the idea of classroom talks and engaging students, but how are you going to ensure any form of success? Because as of right now, I'm seeing that this is a great idea, but there's no way of measuring whether or not it's actually hitting home and actually affecting the constituents whatsoever.
Okay. So I would say if you want very specific means to measure the success, I would look at the voter turnout, I would look at the number of people running in the elections. However, that would not be my main goal. My main goal is to reach out to the average student and to make sure that they know what's going on at the university. So I'm not too sure about like how you would exactly measure the success. Perhaps a survey would be a good idea, but there comes a lot of other things with that as well. As of now, I somewhat feel like this is a responsibility because of the budget cut and because of all the new things that will be changing at the university. And I do believe that there is no better way to really convey this information other to simply speak to the students eye to eye and to make sure that they know what is going on and who to reach in case they have any comments and concerns. So we'll try to measure the success, but perhaps we can talk about it more after.
President Kuzman.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the excellent presentation. It's kind of, you know, we normally don't get presentations of this matter, but like, I wish that I took the initiative something like this when I was a counselor. I just wanted to make aware.
I just wanted to make council aware that there is a pool of money of which they can apply for. It's like a council outreach fund. So if they want to, let's say, host a town hall and bring pizza and food or to do whatever other initiatives to connect with constituents, funds do exist, and it's a matter of going through CAP. So, you know, that's, this is just one of the many ways of engaging constituents, and of course, yet, I think this is really awesome. So, yeah, great job.
Thank you. Councillor Speaker?
Yeah, I'll phrase this as a question. have you thought or considered about doing some sort of tracking of like email responses, maybe as a success measure? Because if you have like your contact info at the end, could you track like the amount of feedback you get, and maybe I don't know, make even some sort of like bar graph out of it?
Okay, I love your suggestion. Thank you. And if this actually, if this initiative is well received by everybody and we do go with it for each faculty, I would be happy to gather the data at the end and make a presentation doing myself.
The presentation we have, if the presentations are forwarded in full, then she can post them on the council website.
Okay.
Presentations page.
Okay.
I'll
do that hopefully tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much. Rolling again.
My lights are just tired.
You can just unplug it.
Here are the apples.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. One couple of other announcements I totally forgot about during speaker's business. I'm actually going to move a couple of items from the late editions, make them a special order, and place them on the main order paper at the appropriate times. Item 6A, as I understand, there's a committee of some sort that a student at large is to be appointed to on relatively short order, and we currently don't have a process to do so, so I've been asked to do that, and I deem that time sensitive, so I will add that to the order paper, as well as item 7C, again, as I understand it, they will be meeting quite quickly. So with that, we will carry on with our main order paper. Item 2C, University of Alberta Budget Primer 2.0, presented by President Kuzmu, Vice President Chellen, and Vice President Wood, sponsored by President Kuzmu. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Gilkey. Any objection during this presentation? Seeing none, we will proceed. Unless that was... Oh, this is like
fancy, fancy, schmancy.
When I first saw it, I was like, "Who's that?"
I don't do well with the spang dangle technology stuff. So.
Aren't you the technological whiz, Mr. Speaker? I thought that's why.
Who told you that?
I do.
Touché. Do you guys want to load this as well? Or? Are you going to be loading something off here?
No. Okay. I am simply using it to follow along.
That's cool.
On the other side of the street, I know.
All right. Good to go. Slicer. Up at the top. Down from the view.
Why am I so terrible at this?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, my bad.
And then go from the game.
Totally, guys. So, hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for giving us another shot at presenting to you a budget primer. So last time we gave you a really hefty presentation, super long, pretty detail-oriented. This time we're going to try and make sure that we keep it under 15 minutes or so. But the main purpose of this is we'll email all this to you. In addition, it will be online. But we're hoping that, you know, you'll print this out and have it with you when we get the presentation from the acting provost and the university's vice president of finance. So that way you can have all this information out, laid out for you. So there are going to be some slides that we're just going to kind of gloss over because they're just going to be facts that, you know, doesn't need any more explanation. It's just good information for you to have. So with that being said, we'll kind of jump straight into it. The outline for this presentation, and this presentation's basis is, you know, this is, we're giving you a presentation because this is the new information that we have.
It's pretty self-explanatory. We'll just get straight into it. So, in August, what happened since we last met? The board chair received a letter from Minister Lukaszczyk stating two things. Essentially, A, that financial consultants will be, the government will have financial consultants on campus, and essentially their work will only last for 1 month. It will last something between September 13th to October 13th or something like that. From my understanding, I don't remember the dates exactly, but within a month, they're supposed to kind of understand the university's budget processes, not necessarily its budget in its entirety, but its budget processes, and evaluate, whether it's effective or not, and have a report done by the month, which is unbelievably ambitious. In addition to that, the institution was informed that it would have to balance its budget over 2 years and not 3 years. And this was a large thing, because all of a sudden, you have to condense all these massive cuts in 2 years compared to 3 years. So that was really game-changing, and that caused a lot of panic. Now, one of the concerns that we have so far is the board chair stated that, hey, you know what, I'm going to reply to the minister relatively soon, and in addition to that, I'm going to publicize all of these letters. So if you go to the gateway.ca, if you go to Gateway's website at the top, you'll see a professor who bought out an ad, essentially saying, where's the letters, board chair in the university? And that's been hidden for some reason, and that's a question that I'll be asking the board chair this Friday during our Board of Governors meeting. So and in addition to that, Dustin asked the president at GFC, when are these letters going to be released? And her response was, go ask the board chair. So that was a lackluster response. Next, Dustin.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So last time we presented to you, we said that one of our key concerns is we don't have enough information. The university wasn't being transparent on the money that it had, how it was spending money, or how it went about making decisions. And so partially in response, I think, to the Students' Union's lobby efforts to encourage the university to be more transparent, we proposed something called a budget primer, as well as associated financial documents. If you go to change.ualberta.ca, you'll see on the right-hand side a list of documents around the university budget. A key piece of that is the university's operating budget. Last time I came and talked to you, we had just bare-bones information around how much the university spends on salaries, benefits, utilities across campus. We couldn't really tell you what was spent in individual units on campus. The university released information by faculty and vice presidential portfolio, which is a start. It gives us some information on how the university spends its money, but we were hoping to see a greater level of detail of information that goes down to a department level or unit level, so that we can take a look at how much the university is spending on, say, marketing or advancement or donor relations or alumni relations, so that we can, as student representatives and as students' council, be engaged in conversations around how the university is allocating its money and dealing with its budget pressures. We'll also clarify how decisions are being made. They've presented a 3-minute video that you can find online about how the university makes budgeting decisions, as well as a timeline for how this year's budgeting decisions will be made. Finally, there's a PDF document that explains some of the university's budget pressures. Next slide. Going off of the operating budget summary, there's about 5 or 6 documents that are quite dense, and we're still digging through them. This is what I wanted to show you. It's a little bit tricky to wrap your head around. This is essentially the operating expenditures of the university on an annual basis, based on last year. About 59% is spent on faculty. So what you and I are discussing is in the faculties of arts, science, ALS, nursing, education, business, law, etc. The rest of the amount, about 41%, is spent in what I would call administrative units, 15% by the provost, 13% by VP facilities and operations, 7% by VP finance and administration, with portions coming from advancement and university relations as well. So this is just the start of some of the information that we're starting together. Again, you can find it on change.ualberta if you want to find more, but just the start of where the university spends most of its money.
Yes, and I'll be sure to change the color scheme so it's a little more understandable. Yeah, yikes.
So, Petros talked about getting official confirmation, apparently, from the government that we need to balance our budget in 2 years rather than 3 years. So, the university was expected to fill a gap of about $74 million in this current fiscal year. Part of that is due to a 7.2% reduction in their operating grant and an increase of about 4% in their expenditures, primarily due to salary increases. This year they've cut, so in 2013 they've cut about $28 million, which means that there's about $45 million left to cut. With salaries and benefits going up, they estimate an extra $10 million. So in total, that's $56 million that needs to be cut in next fiscal year 14-15. The deans, provost, VP finance got together a number of times over the summer, and they determined that they're going to split it with faculties taking up the brunt of that cut, about $40 million, with central administration taking about $17 million. Now, that's slightly disproportional from that previous graph that I showed you, that sort of 56% faculty and 41%. Admit, if you went by that ratio, central would be cutting about $22 million instead of about $17 million. Just an interesting tidbit.
So the next two slides, there's this and this. I'll just gloss over really quickly. This is just good information for you folks to have. It's essentially a timeline, and it's important to note that this is from some presentations, I believe, from the university's resources itself. So, but anyways, this is essentially the governance process for a comprehensive institutional plan. That's essentially the university's plan for the year, right? It starts in April, where you have we facilitate a budget conversation, and it goes all the way down to March. Now, what's important to note and very interesting to note is that when the budget cuts were delivered on March 7th, we were pretty much at this stage. You know, we approved a CIP, our plan, and then when we were told, like, hey, these budget cuts happened, we essentially had to take a lot of this and condense it into over essentially a couple months, and that was during the summertime. So that's essentially what was happening this entire time. Some important things to note is in November, December is when we normally vote on tuition, So here's a timeline for this year. So these are just board committees, to keep that in mind. Note how our October 8th presentation is right in front of APC, that's our Academic Planning Committee. The university needs to present to us their plan, their budget presentation, and in addition to that, their plans for tuition. That's part of our tuition consultation framework. Now, we don't necessarily vote on whether we like what their plans are for tuition. It's essentially a matter of them, you know, telling us what their plans are, and that's consultation. So that's kind of one of our concerns with the consultation framework with tuition and mandatory non-instructional fees in the first place. But this is essentially a brief plan. So March will approve the CIP and the budgets and go forward.
So we want to make sure that you guys have a good understanding of the problem moving forward and the reason that the university is having to make the tough decisions that it is. And this graph really explains it all. It's actually directly from the university's presentation that Martin Ferguson Pell gave at GSE. It was just a town hall. But as you can see, the red line is kind of the plan of where the university wanted to go over the next couple of years. That orange line is the new reality. That is how much money we have compared to how much money we wish we had. And, so evidently the university moving forward has some very tough decisions to make. Moving right on, though, we're looking at some of the ways that they're planning to hopefully make up revenue. They're talking a lot about revenue now. Rather than living by the means that the government has given us, they're trying to find ways to make the situation fiscally better for us. So the first is the indirect cost of research. The admin is recommending that a new 85 to 15% faculty to central split in funding from ICR, from non-tri council funders. So what this means is that normally, and we actually don't have the split from what it was before, but the university is essentially proposing a new split to have Central take a little bit more of money that would typically be going to faculty.
And in addition to that, they're forcing professors who are applying for research grants to make sure that they're squeezing as much grants as possible that can go to the indirect costs related to research. So they're saying, hey, if you're going to be asking for $10,000 to do this research project, make sure that you ask for, let's say, I'm just going to throw around a number, an extra $2,000 to make up for the fact that we're going to need support staff to help you, that you're going to have to take away from teaching and et cetera. Those are the indirect costs related to research.
So they're, as you said, they're trying to essentially get researchers to get more money for their projects, bringing more revenue for the university. They're also looking at tuition. Again, 85 to 15 model for new cost recovery programs and market modifiers. This means that admin gets a little bit more of that tuition, which evidently why we're concerned that they're going to look at ways to raise tuition, market modifiers, mandatory fees, so that they can take more revenue from us and make it easier for them to move forward. They're also looking at international differential fees. The split is currently 37.5% to central, 37.5% to faculties, and 25% to provosts. Of that 60% of that 25% to the provosts, I think it's 60% that goes to individual programs, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll clarify that later. So as you can see, they're looking for new ways to increase revenue. Now, some other ways that they're looking about it, as you all know, voluntary severance packages. At first, they didn't want to pursue this. However, the reality set in that they couldn't set in a hiring freeze, which is something that we've asked a lot of questions about. The university doesn't want to bring a hiring freeze to campus. Evidently, that's a controversial decision, but if you have questions about that, ask later. On August 6th, the university announced that that voluntary severance packages would be implemented for academic staff. At this time, we've been told that 143 positions have been lost. We're not entirely sure what this means. This isn't voluntary severance. This is voluntary severance numbers haven't been announced yet. This 143 is likely from retirement, layoffs, and et cetera. So anybody that has gone because of the university at this point.
So here are a series of slides that we took from the university's presentation. So this is a huge mess, but this is essentially, the university has three different budget scenarios. They have the best case scenario, worst case scenario, and no, intermediate, like okay scenario, and the absolute worst case. So ATB stands for across the board cuts, so that's for faculties. So what they're planning on doing is around something in an average of 7.7% of across the board cuts for faculties. They're hoping that in the best case scenario, they have at least 70 faculty members sign up for voluntary severance. So they're saying, you know what, I'm going to leave this institution, just pay me out for my my benefits, and I'm gone. So in addition to that, they're hoping that the Academic Staff Association and the Non-Academic Staff Association, so those are instructors, and you also have, let's say, janitors and admin assistants, they're hoping that they're willing to renegotiate their contracts. Because right now they're having salary increases every year. They're hoping they can at least negotiate that for 0% salary increases. They're looking for 0% salary increases. In addition to that, they're also hoping that their benefits packages won't have increases as well. So if that's the case, then we're looking at saving potentially around nearly $30 million if we have 70 faculty for voluntary severance, and if the academic staff have 0% increases for their salaries and their benefits. Now, the other thing that they're hoping would do to balance this budget is if faculties raise extra revenue. So what are the ways they raise their revenue is kind of what Adam was talking about. If they get more indirect costs, if they get more granting and funding for indirect costs related to research, so not only will the provost make sure that they get a bigger piece of the pie of these grants, but making sure that researchers are doing their due diligence and asking for more. There's also greater incentives for faculties to pursue Markov modifiers, because right now, if a faculty has a Markov modifier, a certain percentage of it goes to the provost, and the rest will go to the faculty. They're now saying, hey, faculties, this year, you will get the majority of the cash if you do get a Markov modifier. So there's a greater incentive for them to actually pursue Markov modifiers. In addition to that, they've made it very clear that they do want to look at the international differential fee increasing, because there's no government regulation surrounding it. So those are ways that faculty revenue can take place. And increase enrollment revenue. Something that the university is also hoping is to get revenue from the provincial government for its increased, I guess, enrollments as well. So that's kind of the best case scenario. And if all this happens, if fingers crossed, then you'll only require 2.2% additional across the board cuts. Worst case scenario is if the academic staff say no, we don't want to renegotiate our salaries or benefits, then what happens? Then there needs to be greater across the board cuts. And the absolute worst case scenario, the government, let's say, no, we're not going to give you extra cash for this over-enrollment that you have. So that means an even higher across-the-board cut, right? So those are just some of the options the university has. It's like, right now, the academic staff and non-academic staff association said, you know what, we're not going to look at reopening our contracts, but the institution is still trying to see if they're being flexible with that. So right now, we're kind of looking like the possible case scenario, but whether the government will give the institution more money or not, that's a good question. So we might end up looking like this, in which case, you have a large across-the-board cuts on top of this. So, in addition to that, I wanted to touch on have a special section for international students, because that's a big issue. It's called the international differential fee. So if you're an international student, you pay something called tuition. but you also pay something called an international differential fee. This is how you essentially calculate it. It's kind of confusing, but you can look at this later at home, you know, when you have your TI-83 calculator next to you and you want to calculate the stuff for fun, whatever it is. So what's a domestic student's tuition? It's tuition times CPI plus market modifiers if they have any. For international students, that's to pay tuition times CPI, just like domestic students, but they also have this international differential fee. And if they pay market modifiers, they have to pay an additional around two times how much their market modifier costs, right? So essentially, there's something called an international differential fee multiplier. So that states that if tuition is $5,000, you'll have the international differential fee multiplier being 2. So that means international differential fee is $10,000, tuition is $5,000, the total they'll pay is $15,000, right? They also have to pay double amount for market modifiers as well. So if they're in the Faculty of Law, their market modifier is something like $4,000, they'll have to pay, let's say, something like an additional $8,000, right? So we're looking at huge costs already. Here's some more information about... So one of our large concerns is international students have to pay not only 2 times the amount of tuition, but have to pay 2 times the amount of market modifiers. So they're paying 2 times the amount for a lot of things. And that's one of our huge concerns, especially considering that it's not regulated at all. And an interesting thing to note is that the institution will be reducing the amount of international student scholarships available. And that's something that we want to keep an eye out, and we're not entirely sure how this is going to work out. So,
just some additional information while we're trying to keep this quick. Who here attended, I can ask Straples and Council, darn it, I was going to say, who here attended the President's Town Hall last week? If you did, that's great. You probably didn't learn much anyways. Brief recap, though. The President presented a four-point plan for moving forward. First, academic transformation, so greater focus on graduate students. Review how faculties are reviewed and funded. Take a look at combining the back-end administration of faculties, so for example, health sciences faculties, having a back-end administration consolidation, not exactly sure what that means. And prioritizing key initiatives for the President, like the MOOCs or the Leadership College. Sustainable financial models, so taking a look again at compensation through something called the Renaissance Committee as a way of dealing with increasing salaries and benefits to see if there's any flexibility to adjust how the university compensates its staff. Take a look at new revenue models, including tuition, market modifiers, and international differential that Petros was just talking about, focusing on fundraising and looking for donations. And finally, coping with results-based budgeting, which will be coming along in the next year or so, and figuring out how the university will respond to the government's new budgeting sector. And you're going to talk briefly about efficient administration, with no specific points given, so I look forward to more details on that. And then finally, the President touched on the need for culture change, better transparency, collegiality, greater sense of trust, greater accountability as well. Lovely words, not sure how it will translate into practice. There are also ongoing discussions right now about reviewing tuition. So we expect, as part of the Tuition Budget Advisory Committee, to see some sort of information or proposal around a change to international student tuition. We've just heard that they are looking at something around the international student tuition model. Haven't seen any specifics yet. They are also in the process of looking at graduate student tuition, particularly for course-based professional masters, things like an MBA, for example. So what are our concerns? Number one, massive cuts are being made next year, $56 million. And I think students, and in particular the Students' Union and the Students' Union Exec, feel as though students haven't adequately been consulted on how cuts are going to be made, how cuts will impact students and the faculties, or the ratio of cuts between administrative units and faculties, for example. The opportunity that we have 2 council meetings for now is an incredible one, but I would say too small of a consultation opportunity. 1 town hall for cuts of this magnitude I don't think is sufficient. I'm really excited to see the questions that you'll come up with as counselors. Again, this is once in a 2-3 decade type cut, and I think as students we need to have an active voice heard centrally, but also at a faculty level, which brings up me to another one of our concerns is faculty associations came together at a meeting with the Council of Faculty Associations and said, number one, we haven't been involved in discussions as much as we'd like. We don't know what's going on, and we need greater transparency. So I forwarded that to the deans and asked the provost to follow up with the deans to ensure that faculty associations are getting more information. But again, we're hearing from faculty associations that they're not involved in budget discussions as well. Third concern, I think, for students is when you're paying, for instance, Frank Robinson, you know, students, a student services fee, or the registrar's transcript fee, or athletics and recreation fee. Those fees are going up by CPI. Those funds available have not gone down. These budget cuts are being made in response to government funding. The units that students are funding through their fees are facing massive cuts, 10% in student services, for example, when you are contributing to that budget. So we're concerned around both the, again, the consultation and the impact for student fee funded services. And lastly, huge concerns that international students are, as one graduate student put it at the President's Temple, used as cash cows as a way to get the university out of this budget crunch. Let's bring them here. We'll seek more revenue from them. And not adequately making sure that they feel as though they belong here, not catering to their needs and not giving them an exceptional experience. That they are being treated as a remedy to a budget problem rather than an important addition to a global university. So those are some of our concerns, but I think, number one, we're happy to answer any questions that you might have, informational questions or bigger and broader questions, but what I think we wanted most out of this is for you to come to the October 8th forum with the provost and VP Finance, being able to ask some of those really tough questions on behalf of students. I think it's perhaps the best opportunity that students and student counselors have had to ask hard questions in quite a few years. So that's everything from my side. I don't know if Petra says anything else.
No, that's great. Okay, thanks, guys.
You did leave time for questions.
How long were we?
I think you started about 7:30. It might have been a couple minutes before, but we'll say 7:30. So we've got 11 minutes. Questions, Councillor Hodgson? Keep your hand up until I...
Thank you for the presentation on the budget. I had one quick question. You mentioned the university is considering a change in the split between on how to deal with tuition. I guess I'm kind of confused as to how taking money away from faculty and giving it to Central helps in any way with the budget cuts like that. We're not getting more money, we're just giving less money to faculty.
It's from my understanding, actually, that they're trying to actually increase the amount of the share that goes to faculties.
Yeah, sorry.
So it's the opposite, yeah. And it's something that the institution is really aware of. When we meet with the provosts and other VPs, you know, they're like, you know what, we're going to have to take away, you know, a lot from Central because they're seen as the fat, so we're going to have to cut from libraries and everything else. So that's they're responding to those criticisms and pressures from saying, you know, too much administrative fat.
Ultimately, that was an incentive for faculties to seek out additional sources of revenue, close new market modifiers, new revenue-generating certificate programs or postgrad programs, etc.
Yeah.
It's an incentive.
Sorry, I got my wording mixed up there. Just a pretty fatal mistake, considering.
Councilor Schiavone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the presentation. In those three sort of budget scenarios, the best case, the intermediate, and the worst case, all three of them show an across-the-board cut. Now, I was under the impression that we were told that there was not going to be any more across-the-board cuts. So I know that's probably not realistic to assume there's not going to be any more, but how come, even though we've already been told that there's not going to be any more, that's already in their plans?
From my understanding, they're still doing 7% cuts with plus or minus 3 for certain faculties and units. But in addition to that, they are, I think, trying to be a lot more across the board. I don't know, Dustin, do you want to add a little bit more?
Yeah, so across the board, when Petra said an across the board cut, that's the average across the board cut. Right now, or the most recent that I've heard from the provost, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a plus or minus 3% deviation from that. So between 4 and 11, oh gosh, I'm not going to measure, 4 and 11, working with 7%.
In addition to that, this time around, they'll actually be publicizing the dean's letters because that was a really sensitive topic, and the provost is saying, you know what, like, this may cause, you know, people will be pissed off because they're going to be saying, why is arts getting more cut than science, et cetera. So they are taking that more into consideration. And yeah, hopefully we'll see the dean's letters relatively soon, I think in October. So
we were told that the dean's letters would be given to the deans on October 15th and released shortly after, 2 or 3 days after. I encourage you to check with the provost to see if that's still the case.
Councillor Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you guys for the presentation. Just a quick question. In your presentation, the way that the university is actually trying to gather income is mainly through grants and tuition. Have they, touched upon anything else that they might want to look into? I mean, there are just, two ways. Have they, actually researched actively into, hey, maybe we haven't explored one avenue that we can actually look into?
Mm-hmm. From my understanding, they're also going to be actively pursuing advancements.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the large goals that the president has, is in the long-term vision, set the university up so they're less reliant on the government for funding, and they have a more robust advancements operations. But at the same time, it's not as controllable as a variable, right? Whereas international differential fee, you can decide if you want it to increase by an X amount, right? With indirect research, cost of research, you can decide how much of that split will go to the faculties compared to central. Whereas for fundraising, I guess it's kind of more of an unknown variable, so they're probably not focusing too much attention on that. That's just my guess. Dustin or Adam?
For those who may not know what advancement is, the university's way of trying to fundraise more money. They just created it actually recently. O'Neill Uttar is the VP of that portfolio. I believe they received an increase this year, didn't they? They're just essentially, the university is really, as you said, really looking at how to get more through private donors rather than through the government, especially given what happened this year.
Councillor Bannister.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Do you know how the international students, or if the international students have been consulted by the university about their tuition, and do you know if they will be consulted? Because, we're a student body, but, from my knowledge, not a single one of us are international students.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are they actually going to be? My apologies.
Councillor Hammond, yeah. So the university's case is that essentially, tuition for international students this year went up. When you look at the net tuition increase, their tuition plus differential fee plus market modifiers, everything, it simply went up by CPI, the Consumer Price Index, by inflation, I guess you could say. So it increased by that much. And what the university will say is, in December, when we approved the university's budget plan, we assumed that tuition was going to increase by CPI, right? So that's what we approved as a Board of Governors. So there's no need for us to re-inform international students that the tuition is going up by CPI, because whatever. But for us, it's no, we were misled into thinking that international students' tuition was also going to be frozen. So that's the case that they kind of bring up when we raised it in our Tuition and Mandatory Non-Instructional Fee Budget Advisory Committee, TBAC and BAC. They said, we approved it in December. It was going to go up by CPI, and they ended up going by CPI. Why should we re-inform them? But for us, I think, and for them, I think it's a matter of, we were misled. The government said tuition was going to be frozen. We assumed that they would be frozen as well. So, yeah.
The international students that want a better understanding of, number one, how their tuition is determined, number two, how their tuition funds the extra tuition that they bring in are being used to enhance their experience, and number three, how the university is actually trying to give them an experience equivalent to a local student's experience as well. If you could ask for anything on that.
Councillor Speakman?
Hi. Thank you for catching us up on the budget situation. I'm just wondering what happens if the university finds that they're too legally constrained sort of on both sides, with they can't cut most of the faculty positions because of contracts, and yet the provincial government is telling them. So can we run on a deficit, or what are the consequences if they can't cut the money?
We are allowed a deficit for the 1 year going forward. So obviously the university wanted 3, but I don't think there really is a good answer to that. What would you guys say?
Justin, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question to ask.
the VP finds? Are there, do you think that we'll run into a situation where legal constraints prevent the university from balancing their budget next year? I think that's a really good question. I think there are other ways that the university could offset the deficit next year. I think I'm off the top of my head, I'm afraid of managing a $1.7 billion budget, but I'm sure Phil Spark will be able to come up with ways, emergency ways that they will be able to cope with it, be it fewer contract academic staff, greater teaching load, so faculty members teaching 3 courses a year instead of just 2. I think there's other opportunities.
Yeah. And you can also increase the international differential fee because there's no regulation surrounding that. And yeah, just cut a whole bunch of staff who aren't tenured, essentially.
There's also a provision, I forget which it is, but it would be like an emergency situation where if that happened, it would really give the VP finance and Indira a lot more ability to essentially do what they want.
Do you want to talk on that a little bit more? Because I remember you...
Yeah, there's 2 articles in the public collective agreement. So faculty are unionized, they're part of a union. There's a big hefty long agreement that I recommend none of you ever read or care about. There's 2 articles, Article 32 and Article 33. Article 32 allows staff members to be shuffled around the university. So let's say they decide to... This is just an example. It's the best one I can think of. Close modern language and cultural studies and shift professors to history and classics, let's say. They can invoke that article and not just move us back to members' room. The second option is Article 33, which is a financial exigency, which allows them to lay off staff, but it also means the university is declaring that they're bankrupt, which, with how much do we have in endowments in the bank?
I think hundreds of millions, a billion, something like that.
So. $1 billion in the bank, I'm pretty sure we're not going to. So the university has, and it's a really interesting piece that's complex, but the university has what's called an endowment of pool funds that generates revenue. Sort of like, I don't know if any of you have savings accounts, I suspect because you're students, they're probably empty. It's like sort of the opposite of a loan, but they have a pool of funds where it's generating revenue, and those funds are used for things like curriculum development, scholarships. They're used when accounting for loans that the university has to pay off in the future, etc. So the university's argument is that most, if not all, of their endowed funds are restricted in their use, primarily for capital expenditures. Some of it is donated and restricted based on the donor's wishes as well, so they can't just apply that pool of funds to a cost salaries. That's their explanation. There's a really complex explanation on change.uover.ca if you want to get finance and accounting credits for it.
Councillor Binchik.
Okay, so this is a question that there's like a relevant story to the question that I really feel would be interested in. So I had a very interesting conversation with my college prof as well as the students in that particular class, and we found out that Polish as well as Ukrainian and I believe Russian, they will be all closing. So that's quite unfortunate information since I was hoping to have a minor in Polish. But also the prof informed us that the profs that are being severed, they are offered $100,000 encouragement to leave the faculty as soon as possible. And I believe this month around 31 profs left this way. So my question is, are you aware of this situation in the first place? And I also know that the prof who is tenured for my course will be moved to linguistics. So it's actually affecting students. Like, it's here.
Sounds like a monster. Like, like you're in the ocean. There's a shark or something.
Other things like that. In terms of, did we know what you just said? No. It comes down to the faculty association. I asked Councillor Bannister, who also acts as the external director of the collective body first, who's the official representative of our students, that should have been consulted on this, whether or not she's been informed, whether or not CBAS has been informed, consulted. The impacts have been discussed. I can't speak on behalf of Councillors Bannister or Mills, who are on CBAS, but they are shaking their heads. And that's why they've directed me to contact Means and say, look, our student representatives need more involvement. Because if we hear anecdotal evidence from our random students rather than the elected representatives, what can we do? There is no format, governance format, for us to give our feedback except after those professors are laid off or those programs are closed. One of the things that we're trying to do as part of our Students on Budget website is to provide a clearer understanding of the governance mechanisms for these approvals. And a key point is around course closures, program closures. Those are required to go through either the Academic Standards Committee or General Faculties Council. So the closure of the Polish program, for example, isn't yet finalized, as it requires sign-off that either myself or Petros are involved in. But also it should fundamentally include the Irish representatives as well. Does that sort of help?
In addition to that, the $100,000, that's part of the voluntary severance package, right? The voluntary severance package is essentially getting, ideally, tenured professors to be saying, hey, like, you're costing us a lot. It would be great if you could just leave. So we'll give you a benefits package for you, so it's like you have a year's worth of somewhat income. So that's what the VSP means, and that's how it ties in. Yeah.
And with that, we are unfortunately now over time, so we need to wrap this up. But thank you very much to our presenters, and I'm sure they would be happy to continue a dialogue with you offline if you want any more information or any other background before the presentation. Thank you very much. Okay, with that, oh, and I'll get you this USB feedback here. With that, we move on to item 2B, progress to date and future plans for the Students' Union video, presented by Councillor Nguyen, sponsored by Vice President Lau. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Binchik, thank you very much. Any objections hearing this presentation? Seeing none, it's all yours. Do you want to plug your laptop in? I saw that on my phone, though. I was like, okay, yeah, plug it in. So plug it into the send first. Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to take 3.
I'll probably
just like, even if it's happening, still full, and I'll have that heart attack, and I'll tell you when I get there.
You would never do that to me.
One more.
Okay, the last time wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault.
The passport was talking about. You were also like, you died.
That also didn't help. I was a little goofy because you know.
I'll be right back.
This is my life. This is my girlfriend and her birthday dinner. She brought Sarah because I could go. Sarah is her boyfriend. Straight up, this has been discussed between them. Sarah Howe, yeah. Sarah Howe took my spot in there tonight because I'm here. It's today's game. Yeah, I know. How do you think it's going over and her father?
Well, what happened when you saw the agenda?
Triumph.
I couldn't be there for the students. No. Maybe I have to be there.
There you go.
Okay, hey guys. So, I'm here to present something on the council video. I think William talked about it earlier in the summer, about doing a video just to like showcase what the ITU is about and that sort of thing. So we've had a few discussions on it about CAP, and as well as within just like me, William, Natalia's been helping out a lot, and some of the videographers. So yeah, I just wanted to update you guys on what is happening. Getting your feedback is kind of the thing that I'm here for, as well as getting involved with the video. So the goals for the video are getting students to be aware of what the Students' Union is about, what it does for students. So the acronym, like BAVE, the Building Advocacy Services, Building Advocacy
Businesses,
Events and Services. And then the second goal is to connect constituents with the representatives. So basically to put faces on say, like, the exec or, like, who on the Senate's representative is. And then the third thing is to have a really engaging class presentation. When we go to classes and present, I think we want to put a really good face on the Students' Union, so having a really cool, like, exciting video is a good way to do that. So far, we have the first draft of the script done, and we'll kind of go over that a little bit after. Colton has helped a lot with it, so this is the team so far. It's kind of small, but we've got a lot done. I've talked a lot to the videographers, and they've been really helpful in kind of figuring out, like, how the video is going to be structured and that sort of thing. They're really creative, and they did a lot of work for, I think, Petros' and Williams' videos for the elections. They do a really good job. Hopefully you'll meet them sometime if you volunteer to help out. And then Colton did a lot of the script, and Natalia's just been helping out everywhere. So, thanks. This is the timeline for the video. So for the script right now, we want to focus on the content. So all the lyrics in there is what I want your feedback on today. How we're structuring it in terms of, like, if we want to do one video or separate videos for each of, like, the execs or that sort of thing is a different discussion. But today is just for content. So this is what the timeline looks like. We've done this first section, which is the script. Today is a chance to provide feedback, and then we have revisions for the rest of the week after we get all your feedback. Filming is next week. The week of October 6th is going to be a lot of the editing. Apparently they edit really fast, so I don't even know if they need that much time. But yeah, anyway. And then on October 22nd, we'll get CAC approval for the video. I think we brought it to CAC once already, and it seems like something that CAC wants to do. There's no official motions or anything made yet, but I'll talk to Aaron throughout the whole process so that when it gets to October 22nd, hopefully it'll pass easily. And then October 22nd onwards is presenting in class talks. Okay, so this is the main portion of my presentation, is to get your guys' feedback. I think there's about 30 of you guys, so if you guys can form groups of six, so five groups of six, all the execs in their inbox have a link to the Google Doc. So if you guys can form groups around the execs, that would be good. And then you can do that. I don't know, some people might have more participants than others. But we'll see. So five groups of six. You guys all have the links in your inbox. And if you can look through the section that belongs to your name, so like William would look through his section with his group, that would be good. Anyone can leave the group. I'm just doing it around execs because it's easier that way. 5 to 10 minutes to review the verse. Each verse has a song that accompanies it. So if you aren't familiar with the song, just YouTube it. I think everyone has, or a lot of people have laptops, so that'll be good. And then some things to look for. Make the lyrics relatable to students. Right now, it's really rough. I think right now it doesn't really relate that well to students. I think as someone who's been around, it's pretty funny, but a lot of people wouldn't get it. So if you guys can help make the lyrics more relatable, that'd be great, as well as making things flow a little bit better after you listen to the song. So yeah, let's do that. 10 minutes, I guess.
Like right now?
Yeah, right now. Major
feedback. Does this allow presentations?
Presentations are pretty open-ended, so you basically have 30 minutes to do as you like. Of course, council is always free to move to end the presentation.
Don't do that.
But everyone, if 30 minutes is more or less of the discretion of the presenter.
I am remaining here for 3 hours.
No.
Wait, don't know what's happening. Are we picking a song?
No. I was like,
nowhere else does it go.
There you go.
It's 8:11. We started at 8:05.
Wonderful. The textures are so
good. I don't know your song.
I was just saying, Jessica, I should be consulting with her throughout that time and look around my door. Presentations are our own concept. They don't exist in Robert's Wisdom.
Have you seen that?
I don't know. Although, these raps are bad. You remember the like pickled cabbage wrap.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was awful. Like I get it, like
that
one? Yeah. Wow. Jessica, you were discriminating against us. I don't know the rap. What is the song which you want me to sing? So they go hands up in the air sometime.
I forget what song you have.
I don't know.
Hold it through it. I'm not. Okay. Do you know
that?
Into Telus.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you don't have to do that.
I will, if that's what you want.
Well, like, I don't know what we're not going to do. There's nobody at all. If you try to do it, you can't do it.
I know,
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of what we're going to do again. Like, we'll have the master program on the book, so it's going to be like with some of the systems.
Yeah.
Being able to come from whatever. So, you can tell them you can send them to come and they have to do it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, because it's sort of internal time. Jess can kind of take as much time as she wants in her presentation. Her time is up at 8:35, so that's what my clock is doing.
Yeah.
So we use a rule book based on the opportunity to order, which is sort of why I do some formal things like asking you something and all that sort of thing. It helps me in trouble. Basically, it's my job. So I don't get to vote. But I can sort of facilitate the
Are you a part of
This is, I happen to also be someone else to tell you. Speakers hired by this once every 2 weeks and then provide answers to questions.
Okay.
I was under the impression that decisions like it's a big organization. It operates through the year round. So decisions have to be made, you know, money has to be spent, policies have to be drafted, you know, everything else. To make a motion?
Yes, unless does the presenter still have point of information?
Give me like 2 seconds.
My apologies, I retract my motion.
Okay.
Okay, so it was cool talking to everybody about what they thought about the video so far. Thanks for your feedback. So this is like ways to get more involved. We're doing the audio next week, so I think from what I understand, most of the execs are up for recording the audio, but if not, we'll get some counselors in on it. So that's next week. And then filming and being part of the video is also next week. We have revisions of the script is the remainder of this week, as well as the logistics is this week as well. So I guess I'll email you guys and see if you want to get involved in that, but that's what's happening. And that's it. So yeah, we're going to go.
Okay, any questions? Councillor Patel?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the petition. When we talked about this way back in maybe July or August, I can't remember, I was under the impression that this video is going to be more about council as opposed to the executives. I mean, they're great and everything, but I feel like council doesn't get enough exposure and you don't connect with students enough, and they don't know who they are, what they do, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm surprised by how the video has been laid out in terms of presenting executives more so than us. What are we going to do about that?
So we actually have the council section of the video. We're working on it. Marina, including Natalia, and I were working on writing it up. We haven't written that part. We're either thinking of doing like a council section, just like the execs have, or incorporating a council part into each exec's part, if you know what I mean. So one of those, we haven't figured out the structure yet, and we haven't written that part yet, which is why it's not on the lyrics. But if you're interested in like looking at it when it comes out, I'll send it to you. I guess I'll send it to everybody, but yeah.
Dr. Watson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm kind of curious and confused as to like why the music video venue to begin with. Like, I would have thought just a like peer informational video, like something that to replace possibly doing a class talk, like someone can just show at the beginning of the class showing what council was, would like achieve a whole better of council engagement and communicating to students what the SU and what council is. So why music videos?
I think for me it was that it's more fun to watch like a music video, especially like with the talk, like they're all top 40 songs, I think. So it's like when you start watching something that you're familiar with hearing, then you keep watching it. So I thought it would be fun to like play with the lyrics and relate them back to that view. Yeah. I don't know if we'll, do you want to add something?
We do have a fairly long speaker system, only a couple minutes left, so I would discourage. Councillor Speakman?
Yeah. Hi. So thanks, Jess. I'm really impressed that you're like pursuing this and really gung-ho about it. I think because it is representative of all of council, it seems to be the goal, and like executive and everybody included. Mm-hmm. I just think that you might have to slow down your timeline a bit in order to get something that all of council is comfortable with. And I just have one suggestion for like a way to get more feedback without actually trying to get everyone in the same place. If you could give it, like make it available to all of us on the Google Doc or share with everybody, then we can like kind of make comments and identify ourselves on our own timeline, and that way it's like not so much of a hassle to get everyone together on it.
Okay, I'll send it.
Councillor Grokey.
Thanks for the presentation. It's, you put a lot of work into it. I just have a couple of issues, but not it, like what Councillor Patel brought up of, for the most part, I don't know here, but even at Augustana, I can say Petro's name and a good 80% of our students will know who he is. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't even know that we have an SU rep at Augustana, let alone that I'm that person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of the counselors are also facing, is that the executives went through these huge campaigning periods. They got their faces out there, and a lot of people know them, but they don't really know the counselors.
Yeah.
So I would like to see a little bit more focus on that.
Okay.
In terms of the music video idea, I think it's a great idea if it goes well. If it doesn't turn out perfectly, though, because it's representing council, I think we may lose some credibility with students if it doesn't turn out perfectly. Not to say that it's a bad idea to do it,
I totally
but I think
agree.
There's a huge risk in taking this method.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I've talked a lot to the guys that are like setting it up and stuff, and from what I've seen of their work, I think it looks really professional. And I think they're willing to dedicate a lot of time into it. And so I think the idea right now is pretty preliminary, but I think once we've worked it all out, I think we can do a good job. So.
Councillor Mills?
I have a question regarding your timeline. So I know you've got CAC approval after all of the work has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had considered, or if you make this thing, considered having an approval process after a script and a storyboard have been, solidified, rather than going through all of the filming and the editing. You know, if council's not happy with the storyboard or the script, we could change it before going into production. Has that been thought about?
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned in my presentation, I guess it wasn't in the presentation, but I'll talk to Erin as we go along. So, like every week or something, I'll update her on where exactly we are and see what she thinks. I realize she's not like voting on it, but I think like every council meeting will, or sorry, every CAC meeting will send you guys something.
So, I guess like CAC and have like, yes, CAC acts for council.
Yeah.
But given it's going to represent all of council, I would want to see more of a council directive than a CAC directive for something of this nature.
Okay.
So not just talking with the CAC chair, but you know, I think a lot of companies would appreciate that as well.
Okay, with that we have unfortunately reached our 30-minute mark. So with that I will thank our Councillor Binchik. Councillor Binchik moves to suspend standing orders to extend the presentation for 5 minutes. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Speakman? Not debatable, not amendable. All those in favor?
Okay.
All those opposed? That required a two-thirds vote, so that motion fails. Do you want that abstention noted? Okay. Okay, with that, we will close the presentation. Thank you very much for Counselor Nguyen.
Thanks, guys.
And we will carry on with our business. Once we get through one item of business, we can get to a recess. Item 7A, Nguyen Lei moves to appoint three members of Students' Council to the Grant Allocation Committee. Councilor Nguyen to introduce.
Three people are assigned to GAC, so we need some people to fill those positions. It's a fun committee. It's my favorite. You should join.
Would you be able to provide meeting dates, times?
We don't have it scheduled because there's three people are like moving out of our committee, so we didn't want to schedule anything ahead of time. Right now, for our last meeting was on Wednesday at 5. I don't. It might be on Wednesday at 5, it might not. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll schedule it after.
Okay. Before we proceed to nominations, any questions for Councillor Nguyen? Vice President Chellen? Standing order says that nominations are dealt with immediately after presentation. Any questions for Councillor Nguyen? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate
Councillor
Hamid.
Councillor Hamid, accept. For the nominations, Vice President Lay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Morris.
Councillor Morris. Okay. Further nominations. Encouraging further nominations, if other than running in circles nominations, which we've gotten into before. Vice President Lau.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Corbett.
Councillor Corbett. Any further nominations? Seeing no further nominations, we will close nominations. Congratulations for to Councillor Hamid. With that, we have dealt with one item of business, so we will do a recess, but just before we do that, I'd like to sort of facilitate the Council Scholarship counting over recess, so if you don't mind, I'm going to get things rolling just before we get to recess. So what I'd like to do, I'll tell you my plan, and if you have any concerns, I'll tell you what you can do with it. So you have the forms in front of you. You may have had a chance to review them. You may have not. What I'd like to do is distribute the ballots to you just before the recess, and then throughout the recess, if you need to finish reading those, you can complete the ballots and then submit them to me, and then throughout sort of the last part of the recess, I will count the ballots and then announce a winner after we return from recess. Anyone that feels that won't give them enough time to adequately make a decision, you can rise on a point of personal privilege right now. But Councillor Shimoni? Yes.
Getting through the other nomination, I say there's only one in the nomination. Is that allowed or is that against?
It would require us to suspend standing orders. Although I have made a couple of other items a special, like there are other items of business on the agenda as well. We have question period,
yep,
reports, and some other things. But if you wanted to do any additional nominations, you could move. You could either move to make those items a special order or move to suspend the. It basically means the same thing: to suspend the relevant standing order.
No.
Okay. Again, if you have a concern with the way I'm going to do this, rise on point of privilege. If not, I'll kind of proceed here and explain how this works. So the Council Scholarship program, I believe you have, it explains it on the forms as well, but basically there's a couple of criteria for it. I will just read them out sort of in the interest of transparency. Criteria for each scholarship is A, representative of his or her constituents' opinions and concerns in Students' Council matters. B, serves as an ambassador of Students' Council in the campus community and attempts to further empower students. C, excellent attendance. And D, activity on committees. So what I'm going to do is hand each of you out a ballot. It is the same sort of ballot that you would use for SU elections. It's a preferential ballot, so there are fairly clear instructions on it. You can only mark one candidate for each number. You can rank as many or as few candidates as you want, one being the most preferable and five being the least. You circle the respective number. Once you're done, Just fold it, return it to me, and please return it to me directly. I'm going to mark your name off on attendance, and that's how I know to make sure no one's voting twice or anything like that, so I'll need you to return it yourself. And when you do, please bring back up your nomination forms with you. Like I said, I'm going to need those with you as well. If you have any questions at all about the form, or if you made a mistake and need a new ballot or anything like that, just come and ask me. But I'm just going to distribute the ballots before we go on recess, just before people start moving around and so on. Yeah, I'll give you. And Governor Kelly, you can just give me a ranking on your Skype text. I'll mute out the screen so that people can't see it. I think that's enough, but if you didn't get one, just let me know. And so we are on recess. We will adjourn at about 7:57, unless it takes me a couple minutes longer to tally. Thank you. Do you have your forms?
Yeah.
Monsieur le Président,
good to see you. Thank you. Thank you.
Go!
Thanks.
I'm just kidding. I'm here. Don't worry.
Thanks. Do you have the
forms?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Thanks.
One thing to just remind myself that one day is March.
Cutting the line. Oh, is that a line?
I'm the president.
Where are you voting?
Yep. Or did you, do you have the forms or did you already set that? These guys? Yeah. Yeah, I just need to go back. Yeah. Just because they deal with paper stuff or volunteer stuff. You know who comes before you. And I guess you already gave me one, yeah. Well, that's a big pile. I assume those were the leftovers.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I'm working on it.
Do you have these?
Actually,
it's all in a box, and that box is probably the best out this way. I noticed that it's in the docs.
Thanks. Do you have these? As long as it's not any LP pots, okay. Is anyone still voting, or do I have all of your ballots?
Dustin.
Dustin.
Oh, I didn't need a rat pass, please.
I'm okay.
taken off? Okay, take care. Brent, did you want to vote, or? Brent, are you still around? Oh, sorry, give me one sec. I'm on the wrong audio source. Actually, can you hang on a sec? Okay, I've got you back on screen, so don't vote yet. Sorry, now I can hear you. So basically, you've got the nomination form, do you? Oh, hey, give me one sec. Can you hear me now? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to turn off the screen. I'll let you know when I do that. And then if you just want to sort of rank, you know, name one, name two, and so on. Okay, yeah, you can email me as well. Sounds good. So here I'll explain how it works. So yeah, basically one is the most preferable to the second, and so on, with the last member being the nominee you prefer least. As you know, you can rank as many or as few as you want. You can't use the same number more than once. You have to use the number one. You have to start at one. Basically, you have to use consecutive numbers. Cool. Thanks. No, I can't really do fan votes or stuff like that, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Have a good night. Okay, Brent, I got your votes. Thank you very much. It's supposed to be over at, it'll be over no earlier than 8:57, but it might be a couple minutes late if it takes me a couple minutes to finish voting. Yes, you have at least 7 minutes. Probably more.
I'm going to buy Friday that meeting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah.
And then, awesome.
This is how close they are. Oh, my God. I like passed out. Like, when I was with her mom.
When I became CRO in 2007, this was the first task that Rachel Wanyarowski made me do, is manually hand count a bunch of ballots for our voting system so that I knew how it worked. No, I mean, it takes forever because you do so many rounds, but...
Okay. What was this?
You're my best. We can
can talk about council menu. If you want to talk menu, that's the girl to talk to. It's always your problem. Oh, 2 more minutes.
Okay, folks, we'll get started in about a minute.
Recess. Just had to finish compiling the stuff. Okay, cool. Alright, we've still got a couple things on the agenda, so we'll get there. But I have tabulated the council spot scholarship ballot results, and I would like to congratulate Councillor Grilke and Councillor Binchik. Congratulations. I will be in touch with you to coordinate. With that, we will move on to our next item of business, item 7B. Borden moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Council Administration Committee. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Mills. Councillor Borden to introduce.
Okay, so Council Administration Committee deals with Students' Council, so we do the administrative stuff at Students' Council, just so y'all can do
And what... What time and frequency does CAC meet?
5 p.m. on Tuesdays. You don't get emails every week, or you know what CAC is.
Every week?
Tuesdays.
And again, a reminder that this is an appointment as what we call a permanent member of the Council Administration Committee. So all voting members of Council are members of the Council Administration Committee. And that being said, only permanent members count towards quorum, and therefore there's more of a... expectation of a bit more involvement in CAC. Any questions to Councillor Borden before we open the floor? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Borden?
I'd like to nominate
Councillor Hanwell. Councillor Hanwell,
do you accept? Oh, yeah.
Further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Hanwell. We're going to carry on with nominations. As I mentioned, I'm moving these items on off the late ads onto the main agenda. So that takes us to item 7C. Lei Lau moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Athletics and Recreation Fee Advisory Committee, ARFAC. Vice President Lei to introduce...
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I attached the terms of reference onto the late edition, and that can be found. I guess there's no pages on here. But the Athletics and Recreation Fee Advisory Committee, or ARFAC, is what it's known, is to provide an opportunity for students to gain understanding of what the Athletics and Recreation Fee goes to. So we pay about... it's $60 a semester to the athletics, and they disseminate that. So myself, Vice President Lau, and the Senate Committee, we need one Students' Council member to sit on it. And so the reason why it's urgent is that there's a meeting on Thursday at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And so if you can fit within that time frame, I think they'll meet 3 times a year, so September, January, and March. That'll give you a good insight into that, but maybe that's it.
Okay. Any questions to Vice President Lay before we open the floor? Councilor Morris?
Sorry, did you say this Thursday?
Yes, so in 2 minutes.
Any other questions? Vice President Lay, do you have anything to add?
Like, I guess we'll use the debate. One other thing to add, that the executive have flagged, is that with the athletics and recreation fee being paid currently, and eventually the PAW Center fee being paid once it's opened up, there's a potential that the two, there'd be like a double dipping of athletic fees because we're paying for the building of PAW, or like the payment of the building of PAW, as well as athletic fees, which if President Kuzmi wants to elaborate on.
Yeah, sure. So, PAW Center fee, we essentially have an agreement with the university saying that they can't levy another, they can't levy a fee that will go towards the construction of like athletic facilities, right? Why? Because they don't want students to be paying, for instance, a PAW Center fee, they'll be paying for athletic recreation facilities, and at the same time, another fee, they'll be paying the same thing. They don't want you to be double dipping. That's the agreement that we signed. So right now we're thinking that the current fee we have with them, that like a rec fee, if anything, should actually decrease. Because once we have a new PAW fees paying, we don't want students to be double paying for recreation facilities. So that's kind of our rationale so far, but we have to look forward.
So that'll be one of the potential issues going on for this upcoming year. So for those interested in joining the executive in this battle, let's know.
Okay, if there's no other questions, then we will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Hanwell?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Shimoni.
Councillor Shimoni, do you accept?
Yeah.
Further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Shimoni. With that, we will carry on in our order paper to executive committee reports. Are there any executive committee members requesting an oral report? Vice President Chellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, just a quick administrative note, and that is that the next council meeting, which is starting off at some stage, I'll be moving to suspend standing orders to allow students that are not council members to speak and ask questions to the provost and VP Finance. If you have any questions or concerns about that, please let me know beforehand. I am hoping that we can advertise this as a forum for more than just people to ask questions to the university executive about the budget situation. But let me know if you have any questions or concerns about that beforehand. More importantly, the registrar's office for the university sent out an announcement today clarifying what's happening with continuing undergraduate awards and scholarships since I don't know if you read my health report. Originally, there was a concern that approximately $483,000 wouldn't be awarded this year in the University of Alberta. RL has clarified that they are making amendments to its plans to allow students to apply for awards this academic year in the fall semester to be awarded in the winter, and then to accommodate their shifting plans, we'll also be having a second competition opening up in the spring, but that's for next academic year. So overall, glad to see that. If you have any further questions about that, you can check out the SU's release on our website or ask any questions if you have. But
thank you. Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a number of additions to add to my written report. I'd also like to just extend my, congratulations to VP Chellen on the scholarship issue. I thought he handled it with tremendous poise and dignity, for lack of better terms. Looking at moving forward, the first thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention is, again, the municipal election campaign. Again, an advanced voting station will be in the alumni room on the 17th of October. We have all the people we need now at this point to move forward with volunteers for the to work the actual campaign. I am asking, if possible, from the committees, the forum for this is occurring on the 6th of October, which is a Tuesday. Is it the 7th? No, it's the Tuesday. 8th of October. There we go. 8th of October will be the forum held at McEwen University. I know there was some concern listed on this because obviously it's right after council, but we have to remember that this is not just about us. This accommodates Grant McEwen, Nate Students Association, as well as members of the public. This was deemed to be the best night for everybody, even though it is a bit of an inconvenience for us. I'm going to ask that committees try to not have business on the agenda of that meeting. I'd ask that you please wait for it for the next agenda cycle. I understand that might delay things, but it's incredibly important that council shows up to this forum. It'll be starting at 7 o'clock at McEwen University. Next, I'd like to provide some updates on advocacy meetings that I've had. The first thing that's very exciting was we met with Linda Duncan, the whole exec, recently, and she let us know that actually NDP leader and opposition leader Thomas Mulcair will be on campus actually next Wednesday. She asked us if we would like to consider hosting an event for him to address campus. We said we'd love to. So that'll be happening next Wednesday, 6 p.m., CSIS 1440. This is actually kind of starting a new initiative that I'd like to start.
Thank you, Vice President Woods. Anyone has any more questions? Perhaps they can ask Vice President Woods in question period.
If anyone would like to ask me to keep talking about my report, I'd question. Like that a lot.
Thank you.
I have a question. Can you keep talking about
my report? During question period. It, the only way we can do it right now is to suspend standing orders. The standing order says there's a 2-minute limit.
That's not cool.
Vice President Lau.
So there's four things I want to chat about really briefly today. One is the Heroes for Health Challenge. One is the Terry Fox Run. Third is Green and Gold Day. And fourth is the council video. So first off, the Heroes for Health. It's an initiative run by the University of Wellness Services. It's not directly SU related, but it will give students access to a pool of money that is severely lacking from student group services. So for example, student group services is $95,000 a year for student group granting. The Heroes for Health initiative and the wellness project that will be introduced at the end of the Heroes for Health initiative will introduce another $60,000, which is more than half of our current funding. So I encourage any counselors or any students that want funding for their ideas that may improve campus health to please register this initiative. The deadline is September 30th. As for the Terry Fox Run, it is tomorrow. I have not been soliciting students for donations for the Terry Fox Foundation, unlike other institutions. Rather, I'm simply selling T-shirts where funds go to the Terry Fox Foundation and also giving a free U of A headband. Along with the T-shirt, so that the U of A members that go for the run can be identified. Green and Gold Day is this Friday, where all students will be encouraged to wear their green and gold or U of A apparel, and they'll be gathering at noon in quad for a group picture from an aerial perspective, whether it's a helicopter or crane, etc. As for the council video, I think it started back in June or July. It's been in each of my council reports, so I hope it's something that councilors have been aware of. And I'm sure you'll understand that it's hard to have a budget that represents a body if there's a lack of involvement. So with that being said, I think that if the video is not the right tool, I hope counselors voice that out as soon as students possible before any sweat and tears that are wasted. And that thank you, Councilor Nguyen, again for and your team for working on the video. And it is a huge project to take on.
President Kuzman.
Thanks. Apologies for submitting my report to the Lady Nations Council. I'll just focus on two things primarily. First will be in regards to international students. So like I mentioned in my report, a group of international students and domestic students, I guess you could say, are meeting weekly to talk further about this issue. We meet 6 o'clock Fridays in the sub-lower level meeting room is normally how it is. But there's an email, so please send an email if you're interested in this. What we're trying to do right now is build buy-in from international students on campus and saying, hey, are you interested in being a part of this? If so, can you intend to start attending these meetings and give us some of your feedback and let's create an education, etc. A lot of this is based off of some of the work that Dustin and Vice President Student Life saw started in last year in their attempts at creating an international students association, and willing to work with really closely. So that. The second point to take note of is there's a special emergency Board of Governors meeting this week for Friday to talk, not necessarily vote, but to discuss Reed in particular, the letters of expectation that GFC passed. I tried making an amendment to it, and it got, first they weren't going to let me make the amendment, and then it got voted against. So yeah, it was an interesting time for those of you who were at GFC.
The other part we'll be talking about this lobbying leadership initiative, which has got a lot of people interested, so Justin is looking further into that. And the third thing is this Edmonton Downtown Performing Arts Center, where the Fine Arts Department, School of Business, and the Department of Design will be relocating. So we have a lot of questions on that, what the students were actually consulting, and I'll keep you apprised as to what happened, considering not all this is a closed session.
Thank you. Vice President Lay.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two things. One of them is the long-range development plan open house and an expansion on the Green Gold Day. So for the long-range development plan, Vice President Lau and I sat on a focus group that talked about amendments to the long-range development plan, which is a document that encompasses a 30-year vision of what the university intends to use its space with, and there's some minor amendments to it, but there's an open house tomorrow to outline it if you're free and interested and want to give feedback. There'll be two rounds of these open house, our focus group and open houses, but this is the first round, but it's going to be at 5:30 in TELUS. You can contact me if you want more information, and an expansion on the Green and Gold Day and how the SU is participating. I think there's going to be free coffee from 7 to 10 a.m. at the Daily Grind. 500 cups. 500 cups of coffee from the Daily Grind. Rat and Dewey's is going to... I think they're having green and gold beer. And I think there'll be food specials in there, too. And then Lex Rest will have some special of sorts. So, I'll defer my point to
50% off lunch at L'Express between 11 and 1. And free, I believe it's wok and chips up in Rat, and free hummus and pito over at Dewey's. I don't know the hours.
Gold, if you're wearing green gold. Yep. So, get excited to take your friends out, let your constituents know, and celebrate being a U of A student.
Thank you. With that, we move on to board and committee reports. Any committee chairs wishing to make an oral report? Councillor Gordon.
Okay. So, ATAC today, I don't know how to pronounce it. Okay. So, if anyone would like to get any questions to the CRO, he's obviously under a very short timeline right now, I will be emailing him from us, and it'll be addressed to ATAC. So, if you have any questions, email me, and then I will compile them and send them to him. So, you're not wasting any of his time asking him to talk to ATAC. So, if you want anything addressed, just email me. My email address is my last name, which is gordon@ualberta.ca. And we will get to talking with him so we can catch up on a report and not waste a lot of his time so we can get up on the by-election. As well, we're working on the council membership program to be implemented prior to by-election to work on filling all the vacancies. And then after the by-election, we're going to work on the council membership program for all faculties. But we are still open to all faculties, but right now we're just focusing on the ones without vacancies. That's all. Thank you.
Councilor Speakman?
I would like to make an oral report about our summary report that's in here, because we did those amendments to some of the elections bylaws from IRC, by the way, Chair IRC, hello. So, We made those amendments in our meeting based on, I checked the standing orders and thought that we had the authority to do that. But then it was like, do we actually have the authority to do that? So just so you're all clear, we did also go to bylaw with that and moved it through bylaw committee as well. And if anyone has any insight as to like whether or not IRC is allowed to make actual changes, editorial or like just like real content ones to council about bylaws 2100 through 2400, which are all the ones with the purview of elections, please let me know, because I'm still kind of confused about it. Yeah.
I'm going to pretend that was a point of parliamentary inquiry at the end and provide insight on that, because this is actually perhaps something useful for other committees as they may come up. I'm just going to pull up the mandate of various committees. So to provide example, first off, to what Councillor Speakman was saying about bylaw committee. So bylaw 100, section 18.4, A says the by, or sorry, 18.4D says the bylaw committee has the power to make to students' union bylaws alterations that do not alter the meaning of the bylaws in question. So, very limited, very explicit outline as to what bylaw committee can do. Essentially, what is often referred to as editorial amendments. This might be rearranging sections or moving renumbering bylaws or something along that lines. The Elections Review Committee outlines, it says, shall review the bylaw respective, basically shall review the elections bylaws, shall solicit feedback from key stakeholders on the bylaw, and shall submit a report to council by the last meeting in November. If there's no sort of explicit reference of delegated authority, in particular when we're talking about legislation of the Students' Union, then I'm inclined to believe that the delegated authority doesn't exist. And so if the intent, and that would be any way, that would be how I would rule in any of those ways, if the intent is for any committee to be able to amend legislation on its own itself, then I would encourage council to amend the bylaw to explicitly outline what a committee can do to legislation. That would hold true for policies at policy committee or anything along those lines. Yes, absolutely.
What is your interpretation of review the bylaw?
So review would be evaluate and provide recommendation is probably the best way of putting it. Perhaps in the same sense that bylaw committee or policy committee do to other bits of legislation in terms of principle changes, because those committees, bylaw committee and policy committee, for example, can't make principle changes to bylaw or policy respectively. They have to come to students' council, but generally they come as a recommendation from those respective committees. So with that, we will jump back into board committee reports, if there's any other committee chairs. Seeing none, we will move into question period. Any questions? Councillor Bannister? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question for Vice President Woods. So why exactly do you want council to go to the municipal election forum debate thing in Dubak? Is it because A, you want their you just want us here as the face of the university? B, do you actually want us to ask questions? If so, should we come prepared with questions? Or C, other?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll respond with all of the above. Essentially, yes. I mean, evidently, as counselors, you're role models on campus, and it's good to show that you're engaged and that you consider this kind of thing to be important. But it is important. There's a lot of student issues going in this election. As for questions, we haven't quite finalized the format yet, but it'll likely be no questions from the floor, just an hour-long debate with our own post questions. So, no, it's more just to show campus and to show your face and show that you're being engaged. And I feel that it's something you would all benefit from tremendously if you came along. Evidently, if council does happen to run late, there's nothing you can do about that, and I understand. However, I would appreciate as many people showing up as possible. So.
Can I just clarify something or no?
I'm going to put you back on the list.
Okay,
just,
cool.
If it's something really minimal, then you can do like a request for information, but if it's like a follow-up question, then we'll put you back on the list.
It's like a point of clarification.
All right, do a
request for information.
Yeah, you can sort of yell request for information at Vice President Woods.
Wait, you said our own poised questions. What does that mean?
Where do I, in my report?
You just literally verbally just said it. You said there won't be questions from the floor, it'll just be our own poised
Our own post questions, as in the record like as in GMAC, Nate, and ourselves will be determining the questions beforehand. Obviously, we don't want to focus entirely on student issues. This will be more for the public. However, with that being said, we'd like at least half the debate to be focusing on things like property taxes, safety around the downtown area, that's huge for Grant Mac, airport is huge for Nate. There's a lot of issues that that we as individual schools have in with and like to be in the spotlight, specifically around students.
So you're asking questions?
Okay, I'm going to cut you off there.
There'll be a moderator.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Group? Yes, Councillor Schiavone.
Okay. Is this relevant to people who don't fall in the constituency? That I've seen how it works for them.
Cameras.
Okay, these are somewhat deviating. I don't want to get too far down this road. So I would encourage. It's up to Vice President Woods whether he wants to take these. But I would encourage if they're sort of related questions or follow up questions that they be phrased as a separate question. That being said, it's Vice President Woods' time if he wants to comment on it. Okay. And just a clarification as well, when you're doing requests for information, you can actually direct them directly to the speaker. The person talking, not the speaker. You can direct them to the person talking while they're still sort of speaking. Once we've carried on, I've kind of let these ones slide for now, but once we've carried on, we've sort of missed the chance to ask a request for information. And it's entirely up to the speaker's discretion, the person talking's discretion, as to whether they want to take the request for information, and if they want to take it now or at the end of their speaking turn or whatever the case may be. If it's not a request for information, I'll rule it as such. Councillor Grokey.
My question is for Vice President Woods. Would you like to inform us about the rest of your report?
Thank you for the excellent question, Councillor Grokey. I'd love to. To finish off real quickly, so as I said, Tom O'Care is going to be on campus next Wednesday. When this request first came up to us, I was a little bit worried about the issue of partisanship. Obviously, as a student, we don't endorse any one party. So, thinking a little bit further on it, I realized that as a student union, we have a lot of resources to bring these groups to campus that not a lot of other student groups have, and it's a good thing for us to be engaging in political discourse, especially after that Brian and Danielle debate, which I thought was phenomenal. We're also talking about, in similar sense, doing a debate between Minister Luke Havoc and all the post-secondary critics from all the parties. We're working on that. I also emailed all the other leaders. I emailed Elizabeth May, I emailed Justin Trudeau, I emailed the Prime Minister's office. Justin Trudeau's office did reply, saying if he was in Alberta, he would definitely call us up. So hopefully we can bring more political speakers to campus.
Correct for information?
Take.
What did Elizabeth May say?
No reply yet. No reply yet. However, I will follow up with a phone call. So there's that. So as I said, Tom O'Care on campus next Wednesday. It'd be great if you could all come. We want to fill the room. As for lobbying, federally speaking, we're making a lot of progress with the pre-budget submission. We met with Blaine Calkins, who's the chair of the Alberta Caucus. He'll be hosting some of us Alberta CASA members when we're in Ottawa for a Alberta Caucus dinner. This never happens. It's actually a huge achievement. We're really happy with this. I met with some MLAs. I met with Rachel Motley last week. I also met with David Dorward today. And Ms. Amanda Nielsen and I, the chair of CASA, went to Calgary after our Blaine Calkins meeting to meet with Michael Chong. CASA had never met with them before, hence the very long trip to Calgary. We're also already halfway there. We paid for it out of our own pocket. It didn't come out of Students' Union. So we thought it was a good opportunity to meet with him. Finally, the most pressing thing that I'd like to bring up is the Wall of Debt campaign that I've been talking a lot about. Because our pre-budget submission is ranging such traction, we decided that we'd like to take attention away from the campaign and put it entirely on our pre-budget submission, so that will now be occurring in either January or February. The committee has decided to delay it. I think that's pretty well it. It's been hella busy, but it's been awesome, and please ask any questions.
One other question?
Take, yeah.
What time do you say the thing was on Wednesday?
That'll be at 6 o'clock, okay. Start time.
Thank you. Councilor Hamill.
I just have a question for Chair. How do I get involved in this mentorship program, council mentorship program?
Councilor Gordon.
Thanks for the question, Councilor. If you would like to get involved in the council mentorship program, you can also email me at gordon@gilbert.ca. As well, you'll be getting information on how to be an appropriate mentor to someone. So there'll be there's things you should consider. But anyway, my book
file case sent to you and stuff like that. Yes, email me if you're interested and
are welcoming to talk to us on during council. Like Councilor Hamilton. Please email that hard. Shit right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilor Wang.
Right. I have a question for Vice President Lei. So students mentioned that all members of the Chinese Student Legal Scholars Association, aka CSSA, get 10% discount at all businesses. Also, like Dewey, Express, or Rack. So I'm just wondering if this was like a financial favoritism, or if they were just misinformed in regards to the VIP price generation with all the SGS.
Thank you for the question. That
It was actually a mistake on the CSSA's part. We had spoken about it, they had approached me, and there was, like, it sounded like an interesting idea where we can work with a group. So then I talked with the exec, and there was indication of, I guess, having, like, a sponsorship in kind. Oh, no, they would help promote our events in return for a sponsorship of such nature, but then they started giving me a green light, but then afterwards when I talked to them, it wasn't fully set, but then I came back to the exec, and they said no, and so we didn't talk to them since, but then they had printed the cards by them, and so they had it on invalidly. But then this was because there was a precedent set from the previous year. I talked to the senior manager of food and beverage. He had somehow gotten a discount established with the CSSA. And yeah, so it was a confusing topic. Still in it right now, but yeah, thank you for the question.
Thank you. Councillor Schiavone?
This will be directed at Vice President Schellen. You mentioned that in your report that you'll be moving to suspend standing orders during the public sort of meeting that we're going to have so that general students can ask questions. I was wondering sort of what exactly that's going to look like, and more specifically, is there going to be any sort of screening, but is there going to be any sort of way to make sure that they're not just taking time away from questions that we need to be asked, or whether like written questions will still take precedence?
Vice President Chung.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm open to feedback if you have better suggestions, but let's ask questions to folks in DP finance. I'm completely open. I think another option, slightly more complex, is to not suspend standing orders and to have students approach counselors during the meeting asking them to sponsor. Then the speaker asks a question to university admin. It's not an elegant system in terms of suspending standing orders. I think I'd be curious to see if we can come up with a system that does give counselors preference in asking questions, but I hadn't thought of, say, moderating questions. I don't think it's clear who gets the ability to sort of moderate questions and who has the most important question to get to decide. But if you have any other suggestions for, like, a more elegant solution that allows students to ask questions, all yours. I just didn't think about it.
Thank you. I'm going to pretend there was a point of parliamentary inquiry tacked on there as well. In terms of suspension of standing orders, so if a portion of standing orders is suspended, or a portion of the rules, rather, is suspended, it's basically as if that rule just doesn't exist in the rule book. And we follow the rest of the rule book as it's written, and then we just don't follow that part. So if we suspend the rule that says only members of council can speak, then we just pretend that doesn't exist. And so everyone would be able to speak, but all the other rules, like written questions taking priority and so on, would still be followed unless that standing order was suspended as well or modified. Now, in terms of, you know, if a situation arose where someone wanted to have members of council take preference or something like that, if you simply suspended the standing order, that wouldn't necessarily provide that sort of preference. I would be inclined to operate under the normal assumption that I give everyone sort of a first place and then a second place and so on. That being said, council is free to suspend standing orders in any way they want. So they could suspend, they could make a motion to suspend standing orders to allow members of, to allow non-members to have speaking privileges, but with members having priority or something along those lines. So when council suspends the rules, council is free to sort of change the rules as they play. Sure, yeah.
Is this going to be considered as a presentation then, and will it be capped at 30 minutes? Because we're going to be taking questions from the public. I feel it's clearly going to go longer.
It would be capped at 30 minutes again, unless that standing order was suspended, yeah. With that, we'll continue on our list. Councillor Mills. Yes?
I have a question for Jessica in regards to communication. As a guest, I brought into Student Council, I was not aware that Student Council was a separate entity from Students Union. Now, with that video trying to put together, I wanted to understand, is this a solitary project, or is this something bigger trying to raise awareness for Student Council?
I think, well, first off, to Justin's point, student council is part of the students' union. It's basically like the top part where, like, we're missing the boxes. So it is part of the students' union. And to address your second question, I think for me, it was more of a student's union video rather than just student council. I think I wanted to incorporate, like, as much as we could of the student's union, still making it concise and understand what it is, but also trying to represent the parts that we want to see. So, is that it?
Thank you. And again, pretending there's a point of parliamentary inquiry, and for the benefit of our guests here, Students' Council could be imagined as sort of a smaller box within the larger box that is the Students' Union. So it's sort of a separate sub-entity, or sub-group, if you will, of the Students' Union Committee. With that, we will move to Councillor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is addressed to President Kuzmi. I heard from my GFC rep that there was some harsh comments made by our president of the university towards the student union concerning the scholarships issue. As a counselor, I feel like any harsh comments made on the students union is made on me and then made on the students. I was just wondering how you felt about that and what was your opinion. What's those comments? Were they really as harsh as? How do you feel those comments were, and what do you think we should do about it?
So, for those of you who don't know the statements that the president made, just to paraphrase it, simply something along the lines of, you know, the SU wasn't doing their due diligence, they didn't contact us, they essentially were just making stuff up, and they should know better, essentially. I found those comments to be extremely disturbing, to be perfectly honest with you, considering that the information we got was as a result of us actually contacting them. And in addition to that, Dustin does meet with individuals from their registrar's office monthly. He sits on the Student Financial Aid Task Force to discuss these kind of things. And at no point was this ever brought up, right? So we did our due diligence, we contacted them, we got the information. And for them to turn around the table saying, well, you didn't follow, you weren't responsible, I see it as the other way around. They weren't responsible at all in communicating this kind of stuff with us in the first place. And there was multiple windows of opportunities, and we actually extended it by emailing and following up with them once a student raised their concern with us. So I also feel for you too. It reflects poorly on us when those accusations are made, and that's exactly what they are.
Thank you. Councillor Speakman?
I have a question. I think it's for Vice President of Operations and Finance. And I will follow up with a written one for sure. But I was just noticing that in CSIS, like yesterday, a whole bunch of tables and chairs cropped up right outside like the hallway where it goes into BioSide, and there's a second cup right there. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about like how they chose like that area, and like they're planning on putting any more seating, or like also I think there's some new outlets there. Do you know anything about it? Did you talk about it?
Thanks for the question. That doesn't technically fall in my portfolio. I can refer you to someone else, but I can refer that to Vice President Sheldon.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for the question. So, furnishings and many faculty buildings are the purview of the faculty responsible. I encourage you to get in touch with your faculty association, the Department of Science Student Society. One of the things I do know is that they have been lobbying faculty for an increase in furniture in CCIS, and that this may come as a result of that. But I will defer my speaking turn, not knowing at all what she's going to say.
So actually, the Interdepartmental Science Student Society had their semi-annual general meeting yesterday, and we found out that those are most likely the study spaces that we have been advocating for so long. So we're actually really happy about them. I don't think anybody knows at this point whether more will be coming and why that particular area was furnished, but we're happy.
Okay. Thank you. With that, we have exceeded our 15 minutes, so we'll close question period unless I see 5 placards to extend. Not seeing those, we will close question period. Moving on, we move on to item 6A.
Chellen Grahan move that, upon the recommendation of Bylaw Committee, Students' Council approve Bill Number 2 in second reading based on the following principles. We've gone through the principles, so I won't go through them again, but the attached document is there, which will have the track changes. So again, we've done this a couple times before, but to clarify, these are the principles that we approved in first reading. The track changes on the next pages are the specific changes that are being made as a result of those principles. So your job in second reading is to debate whether or not the technical changes reflect the principles. Vice President Chellen to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, first off, my apologies if this shows up on the late editions. Bylaw Committee has an awkward meeting time on Saturdays, so it's the only time we could make it on the agenda. I'm certain that we cover it today, because there's a few, or at least one, nomination that could come to this body immediately. So if you take a look, on as the speaker said, on page 1, you'll see the principles. On the following pages, you'll see the changes. I'll just point them out in case they aren't clear. Under section 1G, number 7, it includes the nominating committee. Then moving to... section 12A, this the membership of the nominating committee. Section 14, subsection 2, lists the policy and nominating committee having a quorum of 5 members. Section 18, mandates the standing committees. So this is file 100, page 15. Subsection 5E eliminates the role of the CAC in appointing to the Senate. Subsection 8 has the mandate for the nominating committee. And section 20 on page 18 has the nomination of senators coming from the nominating. So, this is an introduction. That's all for
debate. Thank you. Any debates? Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment, the friendly one. I would like to change section, I guess it's here, yeah, so under section 18, mandates of standing committees, subsection 8, subsection C, shall recommend to council the appointment of undergraduate students to serve on general faculty's council and seats remain vacant after a by-election to strike 5.
I'm not going to allow that as friendly, just because it does sort of change the intent, but I'll certainly allow it as an amendment. That being said, I do open the floor for one for and one against before I introduce amendments, if anyone wishes to. So just before we get to that amendment, is there anyone that wishes to speak, wishes to debate the motion as it's presented? Seeing none, we will go to that amendment. So again, the amendment would be to strike... under section 18.8c, replace the word by-election with election, essentially. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Schiavone. Councillor Hodgson to introduce.
The principle, first principle to be passed, point 6, clearly states the nominating committee shall recommend the appointment of students to GFC when vacancies still exist after the election. Says the election there. I don't know why we're referring to the by-election in the...
Okay, I'll stop. When you say I don't know why, you're probably getting into debate. So I'll stop your introduction there, and then I'll open the floor to debate, which you have the first opportunity to do.
Yeah, I think maybe this was maybe just a mistake. We didn't have a conversation on whether the by-election before. We decided not to go with the by-election, just to do appointments after after an initial election, so I think that by striking by-election just better represents, or actually correctly represents, the first principles.
Thank you. Any further debate on the amendment? Councillor Grahan?
My limited and vague understanding is that there were some like upcoming changes to the elections, like that they refer to some
we just like rearrange things
So I don't think that it would restrict more nominations going through after a bylaw can as well, because I think that within the bylaw it technically refers to the by-election as just like another type of election. So I think that it's contained within that, those sections. And we're so far like not recommending any changes of content, just like literally which bylaws they look at. So I think it's okay. I'm not really sure.
Councillor Mills.
Yeah, I have a question to the floor, so hopefully someone who was involved in some of these committee discussions can answer it. If we're going to have this nominating committee nominate students to the empty position after the election in March, will there be a need for the by-election in the fall semester if these positions are already full? And if we don't have that by-election, do we need to have certain legislation? Do we still want to have that by-election to engage with students? Do we want to have the by-election in there?
I would remind, this is just skirting the line, so I'll remind council that the intent of second reading is to debate whether or not the principles are reflected in the technical phrasing. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So a couple of things. First, I believe the by-election is referenced in a separate section of bylaw 2400, if I remember correctly. It's been moved. Okay.
No, we recommended it to bylaw, and then it went through as a like an editorial change because we did change the content.
Second point, this doesn't eliminate. I know it's a little bit off topic, but it doesn't eliminate the by-election. This is just for GFC. Third point, this is what we passed in first principles. Changing this to election better represents first principles. We didn't. We specifically said after the election. We debated the point whether we would have nominations after a by-election or after the initial election. So I think election is the more correct language to use in this case rather than by-election.
And I'm actually just going to jump in as well on a clarification. We'll call it a point of parliamentary inquiry. That someone pretendedly raised just based on sort of the conversation that's going on, that to the best of my knowledge, and Councillor Graham, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen those bylaw changes reported to council yet. And bylaw 100 section 17.3 says no decision made by a standing committee acting under authority delegated to it by students' council is effective before it's been provided to the speaker as part of the standing committee's report to council. So again, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe I've seen those changes, and as such those changes are not in effect until they come to council. So as it stands right now, the bylaws are as they would be on the website or whatnot. Vice President Chellen.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak in favor of the amendments as I think it fits within the guidelines of first principles. Now, the first principles section 6 states that the nominating committee shall only recommend the appointment of students to GFC when vacancies still exist after the election. The wording or the amendment that Mr. Hodgson has suggested is, in my mind, correct, and what you see in front of you is, in my mind, an administrative error on my part. So my apologies for wasting time.
Councillor Speakman?
Yeah, I'll just speak in favor of the amendment and just try and keep this clarification quick. Yeah, I think it would be the most correct way of phrasing it, and the changes we're talking about have just went through, I guess, on Saturday, so they haven't been brought to the speaker yet. But even still, like I said, like we didn't change any of the wording about what a by-election is. It's still a type of election, and I guess currently it's still in bylaw 2400 if you want to go through the wording again.
Thank you. Councillor Grookey?
Can I ask a question?
If there's no other debaters, you're the last one. So if there's nothing else, then I'll go to the question right away. Okay. Seeing none, let's do that. So again, the amendment is in section 18.8c, I believe it is, to strike the word by-election and replace with election. All those in favor of the amendment? All those opposed? Okay, that amendment carries. And I just want to see if he wants to be noted.
No? Okay, so we don't worry about that. And my apologies, I'll get this back going again. The projector timed out and it needs to cool down, and then I'll cool it back. With that, we're back to debate on the main motion. Vice President Chellen?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make an amendment.
Okay.
I'd like to amend Section 20, Subsection 1, Subsection B, on page 18, to read three members of the Students' Union selected by Students' Council, comma, delete what's after and replace it with after receipt of the latter of a recommendation from the nominating committee.
Okay, so, and to clarify, and to make this easier for people to follow along, if I understand this correctly, essentially, if you threw out what was changed and kept the original that was in there, all you'd be doing is striking Council Administration Committee and replacing it with Nominating Committee. Is that clear? Is that clear to everyone?
What are we talking about?
So we're talking about Section 20, subject Section 1B, so under Nominations to University Bodies, right at the end. So pretend that new section wasn't thrown in and that the existing section was in there, but replace nominating committee, or sorry, replace Council Administration Committee with Nominating Committee. That's the effect. Now, as a formality, we have to base it on what's on here now. So it would be, as Vice President Chellen said, striking upon the recommendation of the Nominating Committee and replacing with comma after receipt by the latter of a recommendation from the Nominating Committee. So is everyone clear on the amendment? Okay, do we have a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Schimone, Vice President Chellen to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This, from my understanding, the recommendations that's come from the Speaker, is consistent with our other language around the powers the Council has, but it doesn't bind the Council to the decision the Nominating Committee makes. In other words, Nominating Committee can make a recommendation to Council, Council can ignore it and make their own decision rather than only being beholden to the decisions the Nominating Committee makes. This is from the advice of the Speaker, and that's all I have to say.
Okay. Any debate? Councillor Speakman.
I would like to only include some of those words. I don't think we need to put by the latter in there, just because I have to read that like four times in order to understand it. And I think, sorry if I'm boring anyone, but if we could just say like selected by Students' Council upon the receipt of recommendation of the Nominating Committee.
Okay, so you'd like to make an amendment to the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, so to strike by the latter, so that it would read after receipt of a recommendation from the Nominating Committee.
Yeah.
Is that clear? Okay, do we have a seconder for that amendment to the amendment? Councillor Morris, thank you very much. Councillor Speakman, I guess that was sort of your introduction. Do you need an introduction?
Yes, please.
Yep.
Yeah, just in the interest of like cutting down wordiness and making it more accessible to people.
This is getting into debate, so I'll stop.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop your introduction, but please continue on debate now.
That's all.
Okay. if you're getting into why you think it's a good idea, then you're getting into debate. If you're explaining what the changes do, then it's an introduction, and that can be a subtle line sometimes. Councillor Schiavone, debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From my understanding from the original amendment, Vice President Chellen, was that the reason we're making it this way is so that it matched up with previous language or other language that we've got in some of our bylaws. So I'm just curious if that's relevant, or if that is really just like a sort of tradition to make it match up with other bylaw and languages. That's a question before, I guess.
Any further debate? Seeing none, we will call the amendment to the amendment to a vote. So again, we're voting on the amendment to the amendment, regardless of how that, if it passes or fails, we'll go back to debate on the amendment itself. So all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment? Those opposed? Okay, that motion carries. So we are back to debate on the amendment. So again, to be clear, what the amendment now reads, or what the effective change would be if this amendment were passed, was that Section B in its entirety would read, three members of the Students' Union selected by Students' Council after receipt of a recommendation from the Nominating Committee. Okay, going back to debate on the amendment. Any further debate? Seeing none, we will call the amendment to a vote. All those in favor of the amendment? Any opposed? That motion carries. Okay, back to debate on the main motion. Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, we will call the main motion to question. All those in favor of item 6A as amended? Those opposed? Okay, that motion is carried. With that, I believe we're at the end of our order paper. Vice President Chellen?
Can I move motion from the floor?
You can try. What is it?
I'd like to move to appoint 5 members to nominating committee. 5 members of students council to nominating committee.
Okay. I will... I will allow it because it's obviously time sensitive. Although I'm not a fan of it. I recognize the procedural quagmire that it would be in trying to have that on the order paper beforehand. So I will. What I'll do, and this is actually the case with any motion. Basically, if someone were to object to, like, if you think that this isn't appropriate that we deal with at this meeting, you can raise an objection to that. How that would work, normally a motion to nominate is considered approved automatically, but when we go, you know, when I start asking, you know, when I ask the person who brings it in to introduce, or I ask them for questions, or before we open the floor to nominations, if you basically want to have a vote, like on the matter, you can raise an objection. Say, Mr. Speaker, I object to this motion proceeding as is. And then what would happen is we would deal with it as a regular motion. So then we'd vote on whether or not to have the motion to nominate at this meeting. Is everyone clear on how that would work? Seeing a couple shaking heads. Okay. So normally. Normally, a nomination in some ways is like any other motion. So, you know, I move to nominate X person, Y person, and Z person to this committee. All those in favor, all those opposed, sort of thing. Standing orders has changed the way we do nominations a little bit, so that we don't actually formally have that vote. All we have is the person that brought it introduces it, and then we vote on people, and then they're selected based on that. If you object to us doing it that way, and you basically want to have an actual vote on whether we should have this, then you can raise an objection and say, Mr. Speaker, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it is unusual for a motion to come from the floor, so if there's opposition to such a motion being dealt with tonight, I want to ensure that people know how to deal with that. So, but barring that, we have a motion to nominate 5 members to the nominating committee. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Schiavone, Vice President Chellen to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So for those of you that don't know, the nominating committee has just voted on by you, so I hope you know what it does. We've got at least one appointment coming up right away, so I'd love to have a populated nominating committee that at the first meeting can elect the chair. If you have any questions about what the nominating committee does, please do it. Please don't object to it.
Okay. Any further questions for Vice President Chellen before we proceed? Seeing none. Yes, Councillor Speakman.
Does this committee have standing orders yet?
No, the committee will be tasked with developing standing orders if they so choose. Committees don't necessarily have to have them, but they're free to sort of set rules if they'd like. And with that, I'll open the floor to nominations, and I believe Governor Kelly would like to nominate himself, so I'll just add that to the list right now. And now I will take some more from the floor. Councillor Borden.
I nominate Councillor Mills.
I'm sorry?
Councillor Mills.
Councillor Mills, do you accept?
I do.
Okay, Councillor Hodgson.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Douglas.
Councillor Douglas, do you accept?
I do.
Vice President Lay.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Speakman.
Councillor Speakman, do you accept?
Yeah, I accept.
Further nominations? Seeing... Oh, Councillor Nguyen.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hammond.
Councillor Hammond, do you accept?
Yeah.
Any further nominations? That's 5. Unless I have this wrong, I have Governor Kelly, Councillor Mills, Councillor Douglas, Councillor Speakman, and Councillor Hunt. Vice President Chellen? Any further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. So congratulations to Governor Kelly, Councillor Mills, Councillor Douglas, Councillor Speakman, and Councillor Hunt. would encourage those members to liaise and perhaps liaise with the two vice presidents on that committee to coordinate a meeting time. And please let me know, in particular from the two vice presidents, if you need any assistance in setting that up. With that, we are at the end of our order paper. Councillor Hanwell, I feel like you've... Okay, Councillor Hanwell, motion to adjourn. Councillor Borden seconds it. All those in favor? Any opposed? Okay, that motion's carried. We are adjourned after we do attendance. President Kuzmu.
Present.
President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Woods.
Here.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Battelle. Councillor Borden. Councillor Mills.
Present.
Councillor Hanwell.
Present.
Councillor Bannister.
Present.
Councillor Schiavone.
Yeah, present.
Councillor Mohammed. Councillor Gruelke.
Yeah.
Ms. Patel for Councillor Minarski. Councillor Valdez. Councillor Corbett. Councillor Redman. Councillor Hamid.
Present.
Councillor Morris.
Present.
Councillor Nguyen.
Here.
Councillor Champagne.
Yeah.
Councillor Speakman.
Here.
Councillor Hodgson. Councillor Hodgson.
Yeah.
Councillor Wang.
Present.
Councillor Zhang. Councillor Grahan. Councillor Binchik. Councillor Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay, we're adjourned at 10:02. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mr.